Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and a few gators and grannies. This Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm being broadcast through shakeandwakeradio.com and being simulcast on Truth Be Told Radio Network. Thanks for joining in today. I always start my show off with a little plug for the stations. Folks, money gets spent doing this that... Well, these people put a lot of time in, and they shouldn't be reaching into their pockets for a few bucks every month to carry these stations. So if you can afford a cup of coffee every month, I always plug them for a cup of coffee. It doesn't sound like a lot, but we do that with 30 or 40 people, and it would really help offset some of the costs that these people are incurring. You know, it's always a pleasure to have Rick Nichols in on my show. I've had him in a couple times now. I've had the pleasure of talking to Rick. To say that Rick is a frontline freedom fighter in Canada would be an understatement. I love the man's passion and his tenacity for going after the government for all this bull crap we're putting up with. Rick, always good to have you in. Welcome back to the show.
Barry, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be on air with you. And I know we have very interesting discussions about what's happening now.
I don't know if they're interesting or terrifying. I find them a little bit terrifying. I find them a little bit of both. What we're seeing right now, Rick, you know, and I know with what you're doing in the Ontario legislature, your front line, with what's going on inside the coffers of our government, what's going on in our schools, what's going on in our police forces. The country really is kind of coming apart at the seams right now. So good to have you in. But I know that you've confronted the Ontario health minister quite a few times here in the last month. I watched your last video, and I love watching these people squirm. But the funny thing is, Rick, we never get an answer out of them. They'll dance around and dance around, but they never give you a direct answer, especially that female that you talk to all the time. What's her name? Oh, man. Yeah, that girl. I can't even look at her face, Rick. She just looks like she's got that look of a liar.
Well, you know what? A lot of these people, I don't know what their MO is. I really don't know. I believe that there's something far bigger than them, you know, controlling the shots, and they're puppets. They're mere puppets. They're being told what to say. Kind of reminds me back when I was in government, before I was removed from government for saying that I do not want and will not take the COVID-19 shot, the vaccine. Well, it's not a vaccine. It's the experimental drug. And because I found that a lot of times, even in government, we're debating bills, we're scripted, and she is so scripted. I said to her one time, I said, look, I want something more than these vaccines are safe. And the first words out of her mouth are, she looks up, she goes, these vaccines are safe. And I went, oh, brother.
And effective. But you know what? Out of the other side of the mouth, they're saying, hey, you know, I won't call them vaccines. These experiments don't actually stop you from getting it. They don't actually stop you from spreading it. All they do is make your symptoms a little more bearable if you do come down with this killer virus, which it isn't, of course, Rick. But it seems like they don't know what they're talking about at all. And, of course, we know that. It's just designed to keep the public in a state of confusion. Every time Trudeau opens his mouth, what does he say? These things are safe and effective, and they're the only way out of this crisis that we're in right now. Well, what a crock of crap. And the next day he's saying, it doesn't stop it. It doesn't help you getting it. It just makes you a little bit more bearable. Which is it, Rick?
You know what? When you find out, when you start digging and you find out what is being covered up, then I have some really serious concerns, Barry. Red flags everywhere. And recently in this past week, you asked me, what's my pet peeve of the week? My pet peeve of the week was when on Monday, this past Monday, I stood up in the Ontario legislature and asked a very direct question. I gave a little bit of preamble and prelude into the question leading up to it. But basically I said to her, I said, so, and it was all about stillbirths. And yeah, you have that doctor out in BC. Dr. Nagasi, did I pronounce his name correctly?
Yeah.
And he has come out. He talked about 13 stillbirths in one day at a hospital in BC, Vancouver, I believe it was. And then Lionsgate. He said, "But I have even more reliable information from the Waterloo, Ontario region, where in fact they've had 86 stillbirths reported from January through to July. But it wasn't the hospital administration making those comments. I have a network, as you do as well, of whistleblowers, trusted, loyal, conscious-minded whistleblowers, and my people are doctors, they are nurses who actually work in the OB, and they're the ones that are delivering babies, healthy babies, but in this case, not healthy babies at all. Yes. And it was interesting when I kind of laid that out to her, I basically said the question that I said to her after laying all of that out. So, Minister, who do you believe? Hospital administration or nurses, frontline, doctors, frontline, who are delivering babies in the OB this day and are seeing firsthand the tragedies that are happening? Boy, I tell you, I hit her right between the eyes on that.
I know, she's squirmed.
And guess what? She didn't answer it. The government refused to ask. The government refused to answer that question. I was furious, and that unfortunately marked the end of question period because time had run out.
Yep.
And the government house leader, Calandra, you know, motioned to the speaker. No, we're not answering it. And so the speaker just said that brings a close to today's question period. Blah blah blah.
Yep. And it's sickening. Right.
So, Barry, what do you think? Do you think that by not answering, that's an admission of guilt, that they know something, but they're not about to expose it because they've already compromised themselves?
It's absolutely right. You kind of hit it right on the head, Rick. They're not going to answer the questions. They just absolutely will dance around it. They seem to be very masterful at dancing around questions. They always bring up another subject immediately, or they'll make comments that are absolutely non-relevant to what's being asked of them. That lady that you talk about, she's a master at doing that. I've watched you put so many hard questions to her already, and she'll always go to the same rhetoric, the same spiels, the same lines that they use every time in answering questions. They're not going to answer the questions, Rick, because they know that something is very nefarious is going on. I was talking to a friend of mine down in the States who have on shows all the time. People know who I'm talking about. But last week he was reporting about this in the United States. Well, I had a little chat with him this morning, and he says the numbers are just exploding. And media is really having a hard time covering it up. I believe the media here won't be able to cover this up much longer, Rick, because a lot of people are talking about it from person to person. And this is evil. I mean, we're looking at I think it's 1,700% increase in one region of the United States just in the last 4 months, increase in stillbirths. And the common denominating factor between all these women are they've been vaxxed or they're double vaxxed. So you tell me it's a coincidence. I'll sell you a bridge in Florida, my friend. This is very evil what's going on, Rick. Very evil. We have a hospital in Calgary. They're trying to cover this up right now, but they reported since they started vaccinating our children in Canada. I can't even believe I'm saying that right now, folks. I really can't believe I'm saying that. But now the one Calgary hospitals have reported 400, and I'm trying to get verification on it. It's very, very hard, but a whistleblower came forward and told us we had 400 adverse reactions the first week from children who've been giving the vaccine. Well, what the heck is going on, Rick? I mean, this is beyond – this would make a good horror movie. Let's put it that way. But it's really beyond what I can even wrap my mind around right now, my friend.
You know, you're right, and it is horrifying. 400 adverse effects. You know what? I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. They only have, I think, last numbers I heard, there was this might be an Ontario number, 22% of the kids 5 to 11 – are in fact been injected with this experimental drug. And so adverse effects, yes. Recently I read about a young girl up in the near the Ottawa area, 6 years old,
died within
moments of getting the vaccine.
Yep.
And they'll just kind of put it under the table. Now, when you talk about stillbirths, I mean, there has to be paperwork, documentation, right? you know, indicating this. And I think, really and truly, they fill out the paperwork, but it's probably not submitted, or I don't know. I don't exactly know what the procedure is, but maybe the happy births go in the front right corner of the desk, the stillbirths go in a drawer. So that, you know what, well, we've recorded it, but we're not going to make it known. And because their goal is to get as many people vaccinated as, or injected, let's use that word, as possible. It infuriates me. And here's the other thing. You know, when a parent, you know, says, well, these vaccines are safe. I mean, I've been injected with these vaccines. I'm on number two, going for number three, or I'm on three, looking forward to number four. You know, they're safe, and so they subject their child to it, and their child has a serious adverse effect. How do you think that parent feels? And that was another question I posed to the Minister of Health, Christine Elliott, in one of my questions during question period, where I simply said, so, Minister, what are you going to tell the doctors who have said that these vaccines are safe for pregnant women? And, Minister, what will the doctors say to these women who now have either miscarried under 20 weeks in their first trimester or deliver a stillbirth? What are you going to tell them?
She danced.
She danced. You saw it.
Yep.
She danced.
I saw it. I watched it three times, to be quite honest, Rick. Just infuriated me, which she just will not answer the question. But these are really, really serious issues. And this is just the start of it, Rick. I mean, I forget the exact number of kids that have been injected on Ontario right now between the ages of 5 and 12. I looked at some numbers there last week. I think it's around the first day. I think they had 7,000 children injected in the first day. And parents are lining up to have their children take this. Whatever happened to thinking in our society? I mean, there's just so much information out there that anybody that really wants to look into it for even 20 minutes of their day, they can go to even sites like Rebel Media that are constantly reporting on the adverse effects, are constantly getting in doctors that are speaking against it. The information's out there. All I can say to these parents that are doing this to their kids, Rick, without sounding really mean and ugly, I wish I could get my hands on them. To be quite honest, and I shouldn't say that, but I do. I'd like to grab them by the neck. I really would. Because I looked at the numbers of kids that have actually been affected in Canada since the onslaught of this pandemic, and the numbers are like they can attribute, and this is a bull scrap to begin with, maybe four deaths total in Canada to children between the ages of 5 and 17. So they can attribute four deaths so far to COVID to these children in Canada, and yet what are we doing? We've got 7,000 children now injected with this vaccine, this so-called vaccine. What's going on, Rick? Like, what happened to people's brains? I'm really scratching my head. Why can't people? I mean, it's your child, and it's a developing body, and the chances of your child ever being affected by this are about the same as getting hit by lightning. But yet we're willing to subject our children to this. This is very, very evil, my friend. This is very, very evil. These people that are doing this, they know what they're doing. And all I can say is there's a special place in hell waiting for those people. Go ahead.
You know, you're absolutely right, Barry. It's so disheartening.
It's insanity.
It is. It is absolute insanity. You know, I drive by one location in Chatham, and Chatham's population about 42,000 people, down in the southwestern part of Ontario. We're halfway between Windsor, the Windsor-Detroit border, and the city of London. And sadly enough, I'll drive by there, and you should see the cars that are in that parking lot right now. Now, I don't know. It could be parents taking their kids, or it could be people going in and getting their third shot. And they might say, and to me, this is Russian roulette. Because if somebody says, well, I'm fine after two, give me that third shot. And I talked to somebody just recently who had that third shot, and they started having heart palpitations. Uh-huh. And they were absolutely scared. Now, it calmed down. But still, I mean, should that be happening? Any boosters or any shots that I've received, you know, over my years, you know, as a young boy growing up, I don't recall any adverse effects other than maybe a sore arm. But you know, now people are saying people have got to wake up. If they say one in a million, I say to them, what if you are that one in a million?
Yeah, heart palpitations. There was a doctor talking about that. I can't remember his name, but there was a doctor talking this week on the internet about those heart palpitations that you're talking about. And that seems to be the precursor or the one of the signs of myocarditis, which is your heart muscles being attacked. It seems to be one of the biggest side effects we're seeing right now is heart attacks and myocarditis. I hope I pronounced that correctly. But that seems to be the majority of the that seems to be the majority of the adverse effects are right around the heart in that area. So what you're explaining is just logical to what this does to the human body. I'm not an expert. I never professed to be one, Rick, but I listen to experts talk all the time. I wish I had the brain big enough to retain some of the information that I hear, but I don't. But what I do understand is that this is not working at all, period. That is the bottom line, that we are still now in Canada, in Ontario. They're talking about the new rise in cases. All of a sudden, we're seeing a surge in cases again, guys. Here comes a new variant. This variant is deadly. We're creating a new vaccine. Pfizer and Moderna have come out and stated that they're finding that their vaccine efficiency only lasts about 8 months in the human body, that you're going to have to take a booster. Of course, the government's going to come out and put that to people, Rick, and they're not going to have a choice. So if you want your vaccine passport, that little thing you've got now you think is freedom in our society, well, you're going to have to take a booster. And if you don't, it's going to be null and void. People, when you give up body autonomy, Rick, when you give up that to the government, you have lost it all. And that's exactly what's happening in this country right now. But we're going to stop it, Rick. We are, because there is thousands and thousands and thousands of people now getting involved in Canada. I see a real rise in knowledge in Canada, and people are starting to get really pissed off. Go ahead.
That they are. That they are. Well, you know what? With this third dose, you're going to start to see more adverse effects in seniors. I mean, I've been verbally assaulted a few times, you know, just leaving my home to go to the office, and a neighbor a few streets over visiting another neighbor calls me out on. I've had other people, most people are usually polite, and if they have a difference of opinion, but I've also had some heart-to-heart talks with double-vaxxed people, and they say, Rick, you know, it should be about choice. And I went, absolutely. And I don't get it. What, you know what they're also finding out right now is that I don't know if it's in children or if it's in adults, but they're starting to find signs of increased MS in individuals who have had these vaccines. Mm. Like what is the stuff, I call it, that they have in these vaccines that are causing such adverse effects? Mm. And you know, people just aren't getting it. They're buying into the narrative. And you know who else I blame? The media.
Biggest enemy.
I went after the media in one of my other questions to the Minister of Health, where I said, yeah, and now with this Omicron variant, that now the media are going to be having just a heyday with a lot of this. And of course, with that, they're going to start inflicting a lot of fear into people, and of course,
new
people
restrictions.
Are going to start, you know, hunkering down.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, for heaven's sakes, you know, what's going on here with all of this? And I blame the media for a lot of this too. And it's funny, when I walked out of question period that day into the halls of the Ontario Legislature, all the media were waiting to go after some of the ministers. They wouldn't even look me in the eye. Now, do you think that's an admission of guilt? I think it is. I called them out. Indirectly, I called them out. They don't want to mess with me.
Oh, I love what you're doing, Rick. I love watching these people squirm. They cannot answer a question, and they won't answer a question. But Steve has something he wanted to say real quick here. Steve, you wanted to add something?
Yes, I do. You mentioned earlier about we need to, or I don't know what it was something about trying to beat these people in the mainstream media. I just posted something about 45 minutes ago. There was a citizen. I haven't found out where he was, but there was a reporter and his cameraman that were getting ready to record something. And this guy walked out to him, to both of them, with his phone, and started to talk to him about the protests and about jabbing the children. And the reporter says, "We're trying to record here." And the guy says, "I don't care."
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they are our biggest enemy.
And he ended up running them off.
Well, you know what, Rick? Well, if the mainstream media did their job and they actually exposed the information that we need to get to Canadians right now about this absolute scamdemic, the biggest scam ever played on the human race, then you would see a massive shift in opinion if they got the right information. We're in Germany, 1935, where you know Hitler basically controlled all the media in Germany by 1935. The only things that people heard back then was what the government wanted them to hear. Well, we're a very similar situation now in Canada. Of course, Trudeau bought the CBC and all kinds of mainstream medias, our TV, our magazines, everything is owned by the government and controlled by the government. We have a majority of people now that, I wouldn't say a majority, but I'd say a good percent of the population now that are getting away from mainstream. They're seeking alternative information because all you hear in mainstream is the same rhetoric in and out, day in, day out. I've said this on other shows. It's like a form of hypnotism, Rick. If you tell the same lie enough times, people will believe it. And another example of that is, of course, 9/11, you know, the biggest lie in history. And people still believe that airplanes took down those buildings. So that's what we're up against. Yeah. Where people are in actually a state of hypnotism, and they don't know it. It's almost becoming a cult now.
Yeah,
it's really, really sad to see this going on, Rick. But you know what? I said it just a few minutes ago. We had a little get-together here in Terrace yesterday, and what it was about getting people together of like mind so that we could interact and meet each other in the community. And I was actually quite surprised the amount of people that showed up. Well over 100 people were there. I think I counted actually one time 130. For a little town like Terrace, I was kind of surprised. I was very enthused. I figured there'd be 30 or 40 people there. Everybody was there for the right reasons. We had an RCMP officer talk. We had a chiropractor talk. I got to speak for a few minutes and a few other people got to speak. Everybody was there for the right reason, Rick. They know that something's really messed up in Denmark and it's time to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you take a look at what I call civilian journalists, and those are great people like yourself, Barry. Down in the States, I was actually surprised. I had no idea. And next thing I know, I've got people sending me notes. Rick, you're on InfoWars. You made InfoWars. I said, what? And sure enough.
I saw that. Alex did a clip on you. Yeah. Played a clip.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He even played the clip. And I thought, wow, you know.
I was watching that.
I forget how many thousands that viewing has, but it's One of the ones that I had, I don't know if it was this one or not, had over 331,000 views, and it's and I say that not to brag. I'm just simply saying, you know what, people are starting to pay attention because it's guys like you who are helping get the word out, telling people. You know, I don't know how many times you have to tell somebody something before they finally kind of clue in and go, oh yeah, you're right. You're acting like that's the first time you've heard it. Well, you know, and I know, it's like talking to our kids. You have to tell them a number of times before it kind of sinks in. And, of course, I suppose I was like that when I was a kid, too, but still.
I remember I worshipped my doctor when I was a kid because that's what we were indoctrinated to believe. Everything that he said was the gospel truth, and he's there for the right reasons. And now we find ourselves in a society where that is very, very far from the truth. You know, all people really do have to do, Rick, is sit back and look at what's gone on in Canada here in the last 20 months and roll it through your brain. You ask yourself some questions. Why is this continuing? Why have we absolutely devastated our economy? Why have we seen suicide rates go through the roof? Family despair, divorces, domestic violence, all gone right through the roof, and it's increasing. Why is that happening? Why is this not going away? I mean, they told us in the beginning it was 15 days to flatten the curve, and then it was this, and then it was that, and then it was this. And then, of course, Trudeau came along and said, well, nothing's ever going to go back to normal until we get you all vaccinated. Boom. Well, we knew all along, anybody that follows this kind of stuff, we knew all along that it wasn't about this virus at all. It was about getting this vaccine into people. I'm using the word vaccine. It's not a vaccine, Rick, but I'm going to use that because most people relate to it as a vaccine. But this whole thing was about getting that into people's bodies. And, you know, I'm going to call it like it is. These people are very evil, and they want to kill a lot of us, Rick. And I believe that is the end game. When we start getting third and fourth boosters in people, you listen to world-renowned doctors talk about the effect that's going to have on our immune systems. Now we see all kinds of people that are double-vaxxed, and these numbers are coming around from all over the world. People that are double-vaxxed are the ones that are perpetrating the new variant. It's not people that are unvaccinated. It's people that are vaxxed. So what have they created? I believe they've created a perfect bioweapon that they will be able to turn the unvaccinated people as demons in society, and they'll turn the vaxxed people against us simply by telling them that, hey, there's all kinds of new cases coming out, and it's the unvaxxed people that are causing it. You can see that narrative mm-hmm. developing right now, Rick. You know, I've been called an anti-vaxxer in society here by people that know that I'm totally against that. We can see that narrative, and we can see the playbook unfolding in front of us. That's what they're going to do. And, of course, people will buy it. Oh, look at those dirty vaxxers, those unvaccinated people. Well, let's just put them in prison camps, hey? That's a good idea. That's what they're doing in Australia, Rick. And it's coming here. Everything you see going on in Austria, in Australia, the same agenda is being played out here. We're just a little bit behind them. But that's coming here too, my friend, real soon.
You know, it's interesting. It seems unless you are a celebrity, you don't make the news. And so a lot of these other cases with, you know, just our average Canadian, Ontarian, if they have a side effect, so a lot of times it's not even reported. The doctors won't even report it. And, of course, you've got CPSO, which is the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario, and you probably have something similar in B.C., yes, where they're muzzling the healthcare workers and doctors, stating that if you speak out against COVID-19, if you prescribe the wrong thing, if you start talking about ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or some of the other natural products that can help cure someone, you notice how they never talk about preventative. It's like you've got it, so now you got to fight it. And it's like, well, what can you do to protect yourself from getting it in the first place? I just shake my head at what's going on and what they're doing. And to muzzle healthcare workers and doctors and threaten to take away hospital privileges or to invoke their licenses and saying, sorry, guys, but you are not eligible to practice medicine in Ontario or in BC or wherever anymore. It's like, why? Who made them demigods? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. They're not listening to the people at all. Nope. They have their script, and they've probably been told, get ready for a lot of people that are going to start fighting us and objecting to what's going on. But we're going to stay strong. We're going to do what we need to do. I just read something earlier where in New Zealand, the Prime Minister of New Zealand is announcing initiatives to fund journalists who write government-friendly stories. Can you believe it? Can you imagine that?
And then we got the Canadian government coming out and telling us that they're spent $50 million to build voluntary isolation camps in Canada. If you don't have a place to self-isolate and you want to be quarantined, we're building these little camps for you. Isn't that great, Rick? I mean, are we talking gulags? Of course we are. This is going right down the same path that Germany went. I refer that to a lot because if you look at what happened in Germany between 35 and 37, I'm not a historical expert, but I've studied enough to understand where they took the people, how they manipulated people, how they turned the German people against the Jews. And of course, by 1937, you couldn't walk the streets of Germany without showing me your papers, old man. And how close are we to that now, Rick? How close are we? This is where these passports are taking us, folks. Absolutely. Oh, it's terrifying, man.
It's,
It is. Well, I got children in this country living, man. I'm telling you, I'm terrified, but not to the point where I'm going to let it fog my brain. I know it has to be done. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, you know, it's sad, but it's so true. And now I'm seeing where Twitter is going to start banning people who repeatedly claim that the vaccinated people can spread COVID. Can you believe that? And yet I just read documentation where, in fact, nine out of 10 people in hospital right now, you know, are vaccinated.
Or double vaxxed. They're finding out
that and we're going to end up with we're going to end up with an epidemic, maybe even a pandemic again, of vaccinated people, because they're the ones that are starting to spread all this stuff. And recently, Pfizer has stated that you know, with the Omicron, it's only like the Pfizer jab is only like 23% effective. Now that's from a South African study, but really, so what does that mean? You're going to have to keep giving us boosters? Or are you going to come up with something even more potent?
Oh, Moderna. Wait a second, Rick. Moderna's coming to the rescue there. They said they're going to have a vaccine for this new variant by the end of February, I believe, was their statement. So help is on the way, buddy.
We do gotta
laugh a little bit about it, because it is absolutely insane. But of course, that was all in the works. And of course, they'll have a new vaccine for it, and everybody just line right up. Let's add that to the cocktails that are already in our body. I mean, this is absolute nuts, man.
They call it a vaccine, but how long does it take to, in fact, you know, create a safe and effective, you know, vaccine that's backed by, you know,
7 to 10 years, Rick.
Clinical trials, you know?
Yeah. Average is 7 to 10 years. And that's an average over the last 50 years that I looked at the numbers when they were first started developing it and actual time it came to come to public. Seven, as high as 12 years before it was unleashed on the public. And what this went, 8 months, 9 months, and along came the miracle cure. Unbelievable. And people are buying it, Rick. They just, I don't know. Some days I shake my head. But we are starting to win. So I'm going to stay positive.
I call Moderna the clot shot masters, you know. And we've got a new vaccine coming out. Well, who wants to trust Moderna anymore? And show me the data. I go right back to the reasons why I made the decision, the conscious decision, that I was not going to be coerced by the Premier of Ontario and his people behind the scenes to get the Pfizer or Moderna or he got AstraZeneca. Good for him. I guess he can't go to the States now. But, you know, so, I mean, I was not going to be coerced into that, because there was not enough substantial clinical trials and data that would outline immediate, mid, and long-term adverse effects of the vaccine that they call a vaccine. I call it the experimental drug. They're ramming this through, slam bam, thank you, ma'am. And you know,
you can't say it, but that's, I agree with you 100%. But there is going to come a time, I honestly believe, that they're going to be held accountable for this, Rick. They're not going to get away with this. Evil can't go on forever. And like I said, people are really starting to get it. I think when Canadians really start to get it, you're going to see a very, very pissed off population in Canada. Excuse my language. But it is coming. I believe the awakening is coming. So, you know, we're going to go through a little bit more hell, but I think we're going to win real soon here, my friend. I do, based on what I see.
Earlier the latter part of November, the government brought forward a bill, and that bill was to extend the emergency orders to March 28th.
Yep.
They were expiring on December 1st.
Right.
But they had to be debated on. Well, the NDP, the government, and the Liberals all were debating this, and of course so was I. And I stood up in the legislature and I said, I will not support this idea of extending the emergency orders to March 28th. And the reason for that is simply this. the Minister of Health has on repeated occasions to me and in this legislature said that the vaccines are safe. Okay? Well, what was the purpose of the emergency orders? Oh, my gosh. We have a pandemic. We need to get what they call vaccines into the arms of people. So hurry up, Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, AstraZeneca. Hurry up, guys. Get something together, and let's get it into the arms of people. And don't worry, you won't be held liable. So I said, these vaccines are safe. And you've said it many times, Minister, then why have the emergency or orders extended to the end of March? Funny thing, Minister, the very day that we're going to be voting on this particular motion is the same day that they start injecting 5 to 11-year-olds with these experimental drugs. How coincidental is that?
And sure as heck,
Minister? Are you telling me that, well, we're not so sure, they'll never say this, but well, we're not so sure how safe these vaccines are going to be on kids 5 to 11, who, by the way, you know, they say, listen, be a hero, be a superhero. And, of course, you know, you've seen the commercials on TV, and the kids get all excited about that. And then you have these idiots that dress up like superheroes.
Superman.
When they're being marched in to get the superhero shot, and they give them a little superhero bandage, you know, who knows what
else. And a bowl of ice cream. Don't forget the bowl of ice cream.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. You know, so how coincidental is it? The very day they're voting to extend the emergency orders is the very day that these 5 to 11-year-olds can start getting the vaccine. This was in Ontario, mind you. And of course, they said, well, if these vaccines are so safe, you don't need to extend the emergency orders, you know, that because no emergency orders for the pharmaceutical companies means pharmaceutical companies, anything happens, any adverse effects, you are going to be held responsible. Oh, no, we can't do that. Don't do that. We got to go a little bit further. And yep. God help them if all of a sudden they say, we've got to start injecting babies. Oh, my gosh. I will just go wild. I will go wild. And so should every Canadian or American out there. You start to put this stuff into my babies?
Sorry. We're going to have a war. We're going to have a war.
Listen.
We are.
We're on the cusp right now. We are on the cusp right now. You know, they figure Canada, oh, peace-loving, quiet, mild-mannered, you know, and well, they won't say anything. They'll just go along. We'll be like sheep. Well, you know what? I'm at that boiling point right now, and I know that a lot of other people I've talked to, Barry, and I know people who call in on your show, who support you, they're feeling exactly the same way as you and I are.
Well, I know there's people in this little community right now of terrorists listening to this show, Rick, and they all feel the same way. And I said that little get-together tomorrow yesterday was really inspiring because it's letting people know that they're not alone, that we all feel like we got no power, that we're just being stomped on. But when you put people together and they start talking, you really come up with some good ideas and how we can come back at this government. And that was a very, very enlightening day yesterday. I was tingling about that for hours last night, thinking about the conversations we had and people's commitments. I mean, every man that came in there and talked to me, you know, in the 40 to 50 year range in private conversations were stating what I'm stating. They're going to fight this to the very death. What they're doing is criminal and it's got to come to a stop. People are looking for ways to come back at this government now like I've never seen before. There's lots of ways we can come back at them, Rick. There is. We still, even though the court systems are completely corrupt in our country, we know that. We know the judges are bought and paid for. We can still hold them accountable if enough people come at them. And I think that's what you're going to see happen here in the next little while.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's beyond criminal now. It's beyond criminal. And you know what I really appreciate about, you know, because, I mean, I get, honest to goodness, I have no idea how many people have sent in messages, letters, made phone calls, messaged me on Messenger about how much they appreciate, you know, the work that I've been doing to try to get the message out there. To be honest with you, Barry, I'm very humbled by it. I am truly humbled by it. But I can't do it alone. I need people like you. I need other people and other podcasts and other forms of media to help get the message out. You know, it seems like every day I just pray that good people will come into my life that I can learn from and that we can work together, collaborate, come up with a different means of attack to get the message out there. But you know what? I have to say that it's not easy because there's a lot of people out there right now who are living in fear. I don't live in fear because if you live in fear, they can control you.
Of course.
You know, the government can control you. And now with this Omicron variant, you know, remember you say you saw the tweet earlier on Monday when I said I went after Dr. Kieran Moore, who was the chief medical officer of health for Ontario. And he said, we have to separate the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. Oh, so now you're subscribing to a two-tier society. And this other guy, Daly, who is the, I guess he's the CEO of the Ontario Hospital Association. And he says, yeah, I don't like the unvaxxed. I don't like the unvaxxed. So I went after him. And I basically said, you know, your comments, you know, about the Omicron variant, you've seen how people can mix up those letters of Omicron and it comes out moronic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I added another O in there because with Kieran Moore, I said, your thoughts, your ideas, what you're saying is moronic. And I tell you, I've had all kinds of comments on that.
Well, hey, Rick, it's great that you're in the position that you are right now, that you can actually question these people and it's being recorded and televised and the public can actually go listen to these conversations because what you're saying in Parliament is really, it's resonating with a lot of people. So you're in a good position right now. I know that I think it's in June. Your mandate runs out. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, June 1st. Yeah.
Are you going to run again, Rick? I know a lot of people are asking you, but I'm going to throw my two cents in there and say, please, brother, go after this. Don't stop. Don't quit on us because we need you. We really
well,
do.
I, you know
so
what?
That's my two cents, okay?
No, that's fair, Barry. You know, I will say this, that we have a plan that we're working on right now, a group of us, and because – honest to goodness, I strongly believe, and I was part of that government, and I thought that we were doing okay, and we had to weather the storm, but this pandemic has made it difficult. Look, it's made it difficult worldwide on governments and people. I'm not making excuses for the government, but those in government have not had an easy go, but I know that because I was in government, and I know the phone calls, the emails, the comments that are being made. And I had said to Doug Ford at one point, Doug, you have another lockdown. You're going to lose the election. And they're just on the fringe of, I think, another lockdown here in Ontario because of this Omicron variant, which, by the way, doctors have come out and said it's nothing. It's less than the flu. It's less than the flu. But they're going to make it out to be something big just to hunker people down, keep people home. They tell you now you can only have like 10 people in your house and they all have to be vaccinated. Well, I have a few words, choice words for that one. Mm. You know, you're not going to tell you know, my family or other families how to enjoy Christmas. Are you kidding me? And so on. But it's dividing families. I will tell you that.
It is so. I see it in my own family. I see it with lots of people that I talk about. Rick, they tell them that their family members aren't listening. They just don't want nothing to do with people that are actually trying to share information. Of course, it's all by design, Rick. It's designed to divide and conquer our society. Like I said, they're going to have a situation here very shortly where the vaxxed people will be screaming to get rid of the unvaxxed because the government and the media is going to tell them that that is the source of all problems. And henceforth, like I said, they're building voluntary quarantine camps in Canada right now as we speak. It's a fact. It's government documents. $50 million. What do you think those camps are for, Rick? You think that's really for voluntary walk-in isolation because you want to be quarantined? If you believe that, I'll sell you a bridge in New York City, my friend. Because they're going to come after people like you and me and everybody else that's speaking against the government. They're losing the narrative now. They're going to really ramp this up, and they're going to use every little tool in their evil book to silence all opposition to this. That's where we're going. It's in Chapter 4 of the Communist Manifesto. Read it, folks. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah. You know, I was reading something this morning. The NDP, they have they think that their hero was a guy by the name of Tommy Douglas. Well, yep, in the early going, Tommy Douglas was a member of the Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy Douglas also believed in, I believe it's eugenics, injecting, you know, taking a look at people, poor people, you know, maybe people that aren't, you know, their IQ isn't really high for whatever the reasons are. And he believed in injecting them. And but you talk about that to any NDPer now, they'll deny it, they'll get mad, they'll get angry. Well, wake up to the realization. And then eventually, you know, Tommy Douglas, you know, did some other things on, I think it was Medicare, healthcare stuff, and then that's what they hang their hat on.
Yep.
But he was using people as human guinea pigs and injecting them with stuff to basically sterilize them. That was his big thing initially. Sterilization of the, let's say, the infidels. And what are we finding right now? What are we finding right now? The word on the street is that these injections in our young people
make them infertile.
Sterilization, yep. Making them infertile, yep. And sterilization. You're right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's deja vu all over again, my friend.
Well, they're very, very evil people, Rick. And I've said it many times. These people aren't human beings, that they know the damage that they're doing. There's no doubt. They're fully aware of everything they're doing. And there's going to be a day that they're going to have to answer in a court of law. And they will be charged with crimes against humanity. And that's why we see such a push now to ramp this up. Big, big pushes coming everywhere. You think it's bad now, Rick? Just watch what they're going to do here in the next couple months. It's literally going to knock people right off their feet. And if people aren't awake by that point, then they're lost. They're totally lost. It's so obvious now that this is not about a vaccine, a virus. It never was in the beginning. It's about taking away our freedoms. You know the way they do that, Rick? They take a little piece here, they take a little piece there, and very slowly, society doesn't recognize really what's going on around them. But all of a sudden, you're going to wake up one day and all your freedoms are going to be gone. You're going to wonder what the heck happened. That's what they're doing, and they're very, very good at it, my friend. But like I said, I'm seeing more pushback now. I'm seeing more people on social media right across the country getting involved. Billy Joyce came back out of the woodworks. He was not doing videos for a while, but he's back out doing podcasts. I recommend anybody that follows Billy to go listen to the podcast he just did. Really good information. All kinds of people stepping forward now because we know we're in a fight that we can't lose. This is absolute the end of freedom in our world if we let this go forward. Period.
Agreed.
And I'm not sugarcoating that at all, Rick. I honestly believe that if we don't put a stop to this, I believe the window is still there. I believe the window is getting smaller and smaller, but there's still a window of opportunity, but it's going to take Canadians willing to stand up and risk it all to put an end to this. Period. That's where we're at.
Do you think there's some method in Trudeau's absolute madness? Where he wanted to get rid of all guns. I mean, Australia is like that, correct?
Of course.
They managed to get rid of
ten years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago. Yeah.
And why would they do that?
Well, of course we know why. Because when the people really do get peed to the point where they want against the government, they want to go against the government. Well, if you have a society that's disarmed, what are we going to do? Go after them with rakes and pitchforks, bows and arrows,
yep.
And get our butts handed to us? That's exactly what this is about. There's nothing in these gun laws that are going to protect Canadians. All the guns coming into the country that are doing criminal offenses are coming in from the United States of America. And of course, you know, and I know, Rick, as soon as Trudeau announces these new laws banning guns, all the criminals in Canada are going to go into the police station the next day and hand in their guns, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's right. But of course, us citizens now that are disarmed, the criminals are going, great, man. They can't shoot me when I walk in the door. What a crock of crap, buddy. What a crock of crap.
Well, it's about to keep you safe, man. Well, the people are going to start waking up to the fact that, you know what, I have to protect my family. And I'll protect my family any way possible. Any way possible. So, and you know what I think, too? I mean, I do not want to hear... a peace officer, a law officer, say, "Well, I'm only following orders," because we've heard that before. Mm. You know, I mean, these officers, they say, "Well, they have a job to do. If you don't go out there and round people up, you're going to be suspended. You're going to be put on leave without pay. We're going to dot 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 dot." Right? And when are they going to wake up? And when are they going to, you know, man up or woman up and say, "You know what? I'm not doing that. I am not going into people's homes. I am not identifying or asking to see their vax passports," and so on. It's funny, how the Ontario government just recently, I think it was on Friday, said that they're putting a pause on getting rid of the vaccine passports. And I thought, oh, really? How nice is that?
Oh, but next 5 years, we'll pause it.
Well,
it's never going to go away, Rick, ever.
I know. Sorry.
I had to say that. But anything you say, anything the government says to us, we know is a total pile of crap. Just a pile of crap. And talking about guns, there was an RCMP officer at our little get-together there yesterday. And I had a private conversation with him. For about 15 minutes, we sat and chatted. And I said to him, "What do you think about this big move by the government to disarm the Canadian public?" You know what he turned to me and says? "Don't ever give up your guns. Don't give up your guns." So he knows what's coming down. It's all part of the narrative. It's all part of the plan to disarm the public. Like I said, to make us defenseless when the public gets to a point that they're totally infuriated and they want to go against the government, we'll be in a situation where we won't be able to do that. And of course, that's what this is all about. It's nothing about keeping you safe. But they always say that, Rick. It's always to keep you safe, to keep you safe. Well, when you start giving up freedoms for safety, you're not going to get either, buddy. And that's a fact. So, here we are, 2021.
That's right. You know, it's interesting that with that comment about don't ever give up your guns. I mentioned earlier how I was just going back to lunch and I had this guy who I knew get out of his car, got walking into a neighbor's home, and he saw me, turns his back on me and shouts out, "I'm vaccinated." Well, of course, knowing me the way I do, I couldn't let that go by. So I just, so he could hear me across the street, I said, "Why do you say that? Why? What prompted you to say that?" And he just went on and on, but wouldn't confront me. I wanted to say, "You want to have an adult conversation about this?" But, if somebody reaches that point where they are so bold to just lash out with words, what's the next step for them? What's the next phase if he still stays angry? I mean, he and his wife cross the street when they see my wife and I walking down the street, walking our little dog. They will cross the street. And I've seen that with a few others as well. But others that at least they don't lash out and say anything. But it's going to get to the point where if this guy had the kahunas to lash out at me just in that manner, what's going to stop him from doing something even further?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what worries me about society right now. The vaxxed are going to start lashing out, and it's time for the unvaxxed to start pushing back. But, of course, that's tyranny in itself, and that's the government saying, okay, we got them fighting amongst themselves. We don't have to do anything. They'll take care of themselves. And, oh, by the way, if 90% of the people are vaccinated, well, the odds are 9-1 that they're going to win, and it's
divided society cannot stand against the real devil, the real enemy. And that's exactly what they're doing. Trudeau is a master of division, man. I've never seen anything like what he's done to Canada since he's taken power. Everything he does is designed to divide Canadians. And that saying is so true. We can't actually look at the enemy because we're so busy fighting amongst ourselves over masks, over vaccines, over this, over that, whatever it is, gender, neutrality. I mean, you name it, the list is long of the divisions that man has. He's the great divider that he's brought into Canada since he became power. But that's all part of the Communist Manifesto. It's how you break a country down, how you destroy a country. You turn the children against their parents. You turn people against themselves. No matter what it is, you find something that will divide people and you use that. And Trudeau's very, very good at doing that. Very good. Mm-hmm. But it's coming to an end, Rick. It is. People are starting to get wise. I think when you start seeing people that have allowed their children to be vaccinated. And I hate to say it, but when we start hearing about more and more, like you said, that six-year-old up in the Ottawa area, and I looked into that story, and apparently it's 100% true. You don't hear a word about that on the mainstream media, not a murmur. But she died immediately after taking this vaccine. Pretty soon, the word is going to get out, no matter how hard the media tries to quash this. I think the word is going to get out, and people are going to be enraged. How would you feel if you were a parent, man, and you've been completely duped in believing this is a good thing, and then you find out that it was the worst thing that you could ever done to your child? We don't know what the long-term effects are, Rick. We have no idea, like you said earlier in our conversation, we have no idea what this is going to do to people 2 or 3 years down the road. And that alone is absolute insanity. Because we said earlier, you know, a normal vaccine, and like I said, I've looked into it. I looked at the numbers. It's about 7 to 12 years to bring it into society. And the reason they do that, of course, is because they've got to do animal studies. It gives them a generational effect of that vaccine on generation to generation. You can't do with anything but rats or laboratory animals that have a very short lifespan. But that was taken away under the perceived medical emergency, which doesn't exist. You know what I say? That's the people. I say, Rick, I say, you just got to go look at the numbers. Go look at the government numbers for the last 10 years. Spend an hour, research it, punch in the information, and look at the numbers that you'll see. And what you're going to see is that there has been no difference, per se, of any measurable magnitude in Canada since the onslaught of this scandemic. What has changed is the way we're handling it, how we've been taught to self-quarantine and wear a mask and do this and do that.
Watch your time, Barry.
What it's done to our children. What it's done to our children, man. Rick, that is what tears me apart. I shed tears for kids. They don't know what's going on around them. And we're down to 3 minutes. I didn't know that, Steve. Holy
no, you're down to, Rick. Yeah. Well, you're down to about a Rick, minute.
I got to let you go, buddy. And I was just getting going here. So we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do this again. But both our hearts are broken, Rick. I know that. I'm just going to take solace in the fact that these people are going to be held to account, and we're going to win. Last word for you, buddy, and I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, thanks a lot. Again, it's a real honor to be, you know, on your show once again, Barry, and I thank you for the opportunity. And I just want to offer words of encouragement to your listening audience. Even if you are double vaxxed, you know, find solace in the fact that if you haven't had any side effects, or your side effects or adverse effects have been minimal, give serious thought about rejecting that third shot. As I said earlier, it's like playing Russian roulette. But you know, there's right now, I mentioned earlier about the number of people who are celebrities, athletes that are coming down with them. A lot of these were, you know, athletes had cardiac arrest. They also had blood clots, or they had strokes, or regular heartbeats, or arrhythmia, or neuropathy, or sadly, even death. And it's happening all over the world right now. They try to keep it down, but when you get a headliner, an athlete, even Hank Aaron, remember number 44 for the Braves? I was reading about him recently as well. He died. Sure, now he was in his 80s. People say, oh, well, he was an old man. Well, hold on.
He was in good health. Yeah.
And yep. Shortly after he got his vaccine, he died. Oh, you know.
Well, Rick, so, I've got to let you go, my friend.
Keep up the good work, Barry.
Thanks for coming in, Rick, and it's an honor to have you in, my friend. So we'll do this again, I hope, in the very near future. Thanks again, my friend.
Thanks, Barry. Take care.
Okay, we'll be back with Jürgen Wallroth. Originally, I had Dr. Daniel Nagasse joining me today for the second hour. Unfortunately, Daniel's at a demonstration in Vancouver regarding a doctor that was apparently held in custody at against his will. There's a little bit to that story, but he was not able to join me today. So short notice, I've invited my really good friend Jürgen Wallroth to come and have a chat with me. We'll be back in a couple minutes with Jürgen. Second hour, folks, and Skype seems to be giving us a bit of a problem. We got Jürgen in here, but we brought him in on the phone. We're having issues with Skype, whether it's by chance or coincidence, or if they don't like what we're talking about, who knows. But Jürgen was good enough to join me today on short notice. Like I said, Dr. Nagasi was supposed to be on, but he can't make my show. So the first person I actually thought about was Jürgen Walrath, because I love having a chat with this guy. Welcome back to the show, Jürgen, and thanks for coming in today, buddy. And I know you've got some stuff that you want to bring forward to the public today, especially about Alberta Health Services. Welcome back, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me, Barry. And, you know, it's very troubling, the story that you told me about with the doctor and what's going on here. Absolutely, the medical tyranny we're living under. I'm living it myself. I was just recently... I had a growth start to grow on my back, and it's this weird thing right along the belt line, and it's sort of just off to the side of my spine, and it almost feels like there's a, I don't know, it's a weird kind of growth. And so I went to the doctor, and because of my past history with skin cancer and that, I'm kind of concerned. So I went in there, and he referred me to a specialist because he wasn't quite sure. And I waited for the specialist to call, and it took about 2 weeks when I finally got a call. And I guess his nurse or receptionist was going to make the appointment, and she asked me, we'd like to make an appointment and look at you at some time in January. I said, okay, if that's the best you can do. Then she says, are you vaccinated? And I said, no. She says, oh, well, then I apologize. We can't see you at all. So it turns out that this person who rejected even seeing me, the specialist, is the chief of surgery at our local hospital here. So I'm not sure what what's going to happen now. You know, we're in a situation where they're refusing services. So we're at the point where we have to refuse paying for services we're not getting. At what point do we say, this is it, you're not giving me what I'm paying for, so why am I paying you at all? The tax revolt time is here. I've been screaming for it for 20 years, but here it is now. How do we stop this? How do we How do we stop this from happening? Well, first of all, we have to stop complying. I walk around without a mask very proudly, and I find that most people are smiling because they only have orders to wear a mask. They don't want to wear one either, for the most part. So, but they're happy to comply to get along because they feel they're going to keep their job by doing so. So we need to stand up now and walk even taller and prouder without it and be the leaders that they're looking for, because they're screaming for it. They're screaming for it because they don't want to be in that situation. Right? The majority of people don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to work for somebody and be told, you order somebody that comes in our store and tell them they have to wear a mask or whatever. So it's time for civil disobedience. It's time for tax revolts. We need to go beyond the rallies. I'm glad to hear more people are going to rallies. That's great. I've been going to rallies, I feel like, my entire life. I feel like most of the time I'm banging my head against the wall with the rallies. Mm-hmm. It's time for more. We need more direct action. We need the people that are responsible for this. We need to surround their homes. We need to surround their places of business. We need to surround wherever they work. The liars and the deceivers in the media, your local radio station that pumps out this garbage, the person who does it in the morning show was smiling, telling you all about the conference and how many cases there are, and they tell these jokes on these morning shows. And we're all supposed to be happy listening to them on the radio when they kibitz like that, when they're all part of the process. These people need to be called out. These are your neighbors. These are the people that are living in your communities. These are the ones that are part of this system. They need to be told they're doing wrong because they don't feel they are.
They're destroying their society, and they're destroying their society and they don't realize it. Because they have been brainwashed to a point. Well, it's a state of, you know, I've said it many times on my show, and I forget the name of the doctor that I listened to explain this to us. But it really, like, it is a state of hypnotism that society finds itself in now. We've said it many times about 9/11 is a perfect example of that, where, you know, if you tell a lie enough times, people will end up believing it. Yep. And there's still people walking around the United States of America today that believe airplanes took down three buildings in one day in New York City. Yep. Three buildings, not just two. I'd say about the third building, and people, what are you talking about, a third building? Well, that just goes to show you how powerful the media is and how much they build. Yep. They buried all information about Tower 7, which, of course, fell at 5 o'clock in the afternoon all by itself. It just decided it was going to collapse perfectly into its own footprint in 7.5 seconds. Amazing, man. Just amazing. And that was from two little pockets of fire, Jürgen. That shows you how much control media has over people's brains, that they can't look at that and go, hey, this is the biggest pile of crap we've ever looked at in our life. But people are still walking around believing that story, and that is the problem.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. And you know, when I was refused the service by the doctor, here's the other thing. I immediately thought, okay, well, I'm going to call my doctor and let him know, because I don't know how long it takes for this specialist to get back to my doctor. So I thought I'd leave my doctor a message saying that I've been refused service. I'm not very happy about it. I'm going to get in touch with the College of Physicians and Surgeons. And I have two other doctors that I'd like you to recommend me to. The sad thing is, when I called the clinic where he works, I was told by the clinic that I have to leave my message with his nurse. Not, I can't leave it directly with him because he doesn't have a phone. And I go, well, that seems kind of odd that a doctor doesn't have a phone. And I said, why do I have to leave it with his? Why can't I just leave it with him? It's kind of urgent, right? I feel urgent about this. He's my doctor. And, of course, some people are going to say, well, you have to go through channels. But this is the way our system is set up now. It's not set up to care about your health. It's set up so that these people are protected. They're surrounded in a bubble because they work for a system that, frankly, I think most of them know goes against their Hippocratic oath, right?
Do no harm.
They are part of it anyhow. Right?
Yep. There's a lot of hypocritical doctors.
The oath was changed anyway. Didn't they change the oath?
I think they did, to take that out. So they can't be held accountable. I think they took that out of the oath, so they can't be held to it. And that is something that they're sworn
people,
to do.
Yeah,
to protect
people saying now. Right. The media saying now, just like you got to take that oath out for a doctor to protect you. They're also saying we need to get rid of the Nuremberg Code because that's no good either, right? There are people actually saying that. The media is actually out there saying we need to get, it's bad for you. And so is inflation. Inflation is good for you. It's bad for the 1%. So we should be happy that we have inflation.
Well, yeah, we're not. Well, what now, Jürgen, our inflation numbers, believe it or not, people are at a 40-year high now in Canada. Nothing to see there, Jürgen, and it's only going to escalate. And, of course, the government just came out and made a statement. What do they call it? I forget what the fancy word they said about what's going on with inflation. But the government's going, of course, well, it's going to go away. It's nothing to see. But in the same mouthful, they want to borrow another $7 billion for COVID relief so they can pay people to stay home from work. And hyperinflation is just going to go nuts. We're seeing it now. I can't go to the grocery store. Every time I go, prices are going up. Look what's going on at the gas station. Look what's going on with home heating, oil, right across the board. Everything is spiking like crazy. Building supplies out the window. Unbelievable. And that's what happens when a government does what this government's doing. And it's all, of course, by design, my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a call from the Wild Rose, the local Wild Rose Party. I guess the local head of the party here. And hopefully I'll be getting in to be doing some speeches for a freedom movement, not so much for the Wild Rose Party, but I think they're going to be part of an overall movement here in Alberta. There's already some doctors and other people going on speaking tours here, speaking about the need for us to break away from the socialism and the communism that has infected Ottawa. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad to be contacted by that group, and I feel very positive that there are some forces in motion here that can help us educate the public as to why there is a need for that fight. It's begun already, and for years I was director at the Human Rights Institute, and I was also director at Canadians for Language Fairness, where we fought for English speakers' rights to work in the federal civil service for our country. And I worked for many years at that and spoke to hundreds of whistleblowers who've been denied access to jobs here. So we need to take that information, realize where we're at, realize where they've taken us, what road they've taken us down, and say, you know what, enough is enough. We are no longer the colony of these scrutineers, these money laundering carpetbaggers out of the eastern. What should you call it? You know, I call it Laurentianville. I don't even look at Eastern Canada as an entity anymore. I see a nation of Quebec controlling small pockets of majority Anglophones who succumb to their French overlords. That's what I see when I look east of the Saskatchewan border. And you see snippets of it here, and then you see massive amounts of it in Vancouver and Victoria, right? It's like the same thing as infested the West, but it's different because it has a greater influence from, of course, from the Far East, from China, and all of that. So I see the eastern part or the west coast of North America is just basically just China. Like China just feeds all of it. It's just communist Hollywood. You've got shows like Santa Inc. I don't know if you've watched any of that, but I managed to watch some of it just to see how bad the subliminal information is and the hatred towards white people. The patriarchy, as they say it is, male toxicity, all of it. It is so bad. It is just so over the top.
if people can't see it for what it is, it's no longer subliminal. It is right on the top, above the cherries on top of the ice cream and the whipped cream. You can see it. It's so blatant how they want to destroy everything that we have created, because there's this festering hatred for freedom and for people's love of liberty and their pursuit of happiness to be able to be free. Listen, one of the things that I remember years ago that they said has stuck in my craw forever was one of these guys, I think it was Maurice Strong or one of his henchmen at the United Nations, said the worst thing we could ever do for these useless eaters is provide them cheap energy. That has stuck with me forever, that statement. I forget who it was that said it. That has stuck with me forever. The worst thing we could ever do to these useless eaters is give them cheap energy. And what have they done with our lives? They fuck with energy.
What's your language, Jerry? Sorry. Sorry.
I'm 72 years old. I've spent my entire life working for this country. I paid taxes my entire life. I've done the right thing my entire life. I've been blessed with a beautiful family that I hope and pray can carry on with a beautiful life and do the same things that I managed to do. And I know they cannot, because this world is headed towards a cesspit of takers taking from the makers. And that's all they're doing. They're shifting this wealth. They're changing the narrative of our gender and our identity at the same time as they're stealing our financial freedom, our freedom for information, our freedom to gather together. It is the most wicked and evil, insidious thing I've encountered, and I hate to see it at the end of my life, because I know my kids are going to have to fight this even harder than I've been fighting it. And hopefully we'll see some 30 and 40 something standing strong now, because they're going to have to. The mama bears are going to have to rise up. They're going to have to rise up big time. I, you know, Barry, I feel so bad for cursing. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. You know what, I know that we don't like it on the station, but when we're talking about what we're talking about right now, I know it just absolutely tears your heart apart. I'm not lying to you when I say I shed tears over what I see going on with our children. I think about it every day. This is absolute evilness. It's coming from the pits of hell. But I take solace that even though they're going to run rampant on our society right now, that they're going to cause so much harm, so many people are going to suffer, at the end of the day, we're going to win this thing. And I honestly believe that. It's how much crap we're going to have to go through before we get there. But I said on the last hour here with Rick Nichols, I'm seeing a change in attitude. I'm starting to see people really kind of step forward and make statements that you want to hear from people that are really dedicated to stopping this. And yesterday was a good example of that, Jürgen, where we had a get-together of local people here. It was about the whole idea was to get together with people of like mind so that we can meet, greet, and share thoughts. And we're going to do this on a constant basis now in Terrace. We are starting to see local people really starting to pay attention. I see that right across the country now. It's at a point, my friend, and you know it, and I know it, and we're not exaggerating this, that if we can't put a stop to this in, I'm going to say in the next 2 years, I'm going to give it that. I don't think we have much more than that. Honestly, I don't see how fast they're excelling their gender right now. I don't think we have more than a couple of years to stop it. But if we don't stop it, folks, we are heading for a communist, full-blown communist, fascist slash dictatorship in Canada. And Trudeau's come out and stated that that's his goal, man. He wants to be a dictator. Everything he's doing is taking that country in this direction right now. We got to stop it, and I think we're going to get enough people starting to wake up here, Jürgen, that we can. Because all we have to do, buddy, is stand up and say no. Civil disobedience is the order of the day. And your thought earlier about a tax revolt, well, folks, there's something that we can all do right now and really put a dent in their armor. There's a company here, I forget the name, I think he's starting in Langley. As of Monday, I was looking at the tweet. He will no longer take bank cards, no taxes on anything he sells, cash-only business. And I'm going, well, if everybody embraced that thought and really got this government back in line, we'd starve them to death in a matter of a month. We need to do this, folks. We are running out of time. We really are.
Yeah, they could use my friend Jean-Serge Brisson, who I worked with at the Institute. he actually has fought the government on several occasions. He owned a car repair business south of Ottawa, and he refused to collect taxes. He refused. He just said, it's not my job. I don't work for the government. It's not my job. So on all his invoices, he wrote, feel free to pay the taxes on your own. I refuse to collect taxes for the government. And the government has taken him to court several times, and he's won every time.
Gotta love that. Do you hear that, folks? There you go.
So there's already precedents. There's already precedents here in Canada. You do not have to collect the taxes for them, because his argument in court was he's not a slave.
Wow.
Right? You're not a slave. You're not a slave. You can. You're not supposed to be told to do work for somebody for nothing. Right?
So after the show today, you're going to have to try and find me a link on that and send it to me. Please.
He actually wrote a book called Tea Party of One. Jean-Serge Brisson, Tea Party of One. It's an excellent book. He explains it in his book. Hmm. Tea Party of One. He fought it for years. And I remember he had his garage the same time that I had the retail stores in Ottawa. And I was thinking, gee, I'm in the heart of the capital. I've got two retail stores here. Why am I paying taxes to this evil entity? And I watched him, and I followed the things Jean-Serge was doing. And when Dr. Ritchie saw me give a speech at the Ottawa Citizen Building on the tainted blood scandal, I met Jean-Serge personally, and then I found out he was also on the board of directors after Dr. Ritchie invited me to be on the board, and they elected me on the board. So it was quite exciting. But Jean-Serge has led the way in the fight against paying taxes as a libertarian and as a free thinker. He's a great, like I said, Jean-Serge Brisson. Look for the book. It's called Tea Party of One.
Okay.
I'm not sure where you can find it. I think Amazon or some other place may have it. It's a good read. It's a Canadian read. And for any retailers, any business people, if you want to know how to fight them, join Jean-Serge in the fight. He's done it. He's led the way. And he did it, I don't know, that was maybe 30 years ago. And nobody paid attention. The media never paid attention to it.
Well, I'm paying attention right now, Jürgen. Yeah. Believe me. Well, that tainted blood scandal, that's something that actually affected your life directly, wasn't it?
The tainted blood scandal, my wife hepatitis C infected blood. Yes.
That's right.
They gave her six units of poison blood in 1981 after a car accident where she broke her back.
Well, was that hepatitis B?
Yeah, and then in my research, I discovered, trying to figure out what was wrong with her. When we found out 25 years later that it was infected blood, of course, everyone denied it, including the hospitals and that.
Did she still have hepatitis B?
It's gone now. We ended up getting a medication that they had come up with a few years back. But it was a fight the whole time. They told her it was all in her head, they fought us in trying to get her any fair compensation because she couldn't work her entire life because of what happened. Mm. So, fighting them, but finding out the whole situation and how this poison blood was distributed throughout the world was the story. It was how these evil people down in Arkansas and Louisiana, and their name begins with Clinton, and it rhymes with Blinton, they had this access to this poison blood through Arkansas and Louisiana state prisons, and it was free, so they decided to sell it to the Red Cross and other these benevolent institutions that were just happy to take the blood and distribute it to citizens unknowingly without cleaning it. In Canada, they did it in France too, but in France what happened was some people got arrested and actually went to jail. In Canada, nobody ever went to jail, and thousands of Canadians died with infected blood.
Wow.
So, I know. But you won't find much information on it. You won't find much information anymore. They've scrubbed most of the information on it. The most disgusting information was not only the loss of life, it was the way they hushed it up so quickly and took the blood services away from the Canadian Red Cross and gave it to some other outfit. They probably took the same CEOs and transferred them into this other new institution, right? And gave them the right to distribute Canadian blood. So it was like this little slap on the wrist, the Red Cross, you shouldn't have done it, because at the time, Mulroney was the prime minister. He was involved. Paul Martin was the head of the pharmaceutical firm. He was involved. How many of these other clowns that worked in Ottawa were involved in that at the same time, right? They all denied anything, and they all blamed the Canadian Red Cross and buried the whole thing. But here's the other thing. I think it was in 1998, the Canadian people decided that they would be generous, and to the victims of the tainted blood scandal, they would donate $1.1 billion. And what they did was all of the lawyers on Parliament Hill decided they weren't lawyer enough, so they had to give the money to a private lawyer firm in Montreal rather than do the lawyering in Ottawa, because they're all lawyers. They had to give it to a private firm in Montreal who took $150 million off the top for fees, for administration fees, and immediately built a brand new building in downtown Montreal. So this is money that the Canadian people gave to Canadian people that was distributed to the friends of the ruling governing elite. And then fight every Canadian who was infected with paperwork up the yin-yang to get any kind of compensation, and then struggle to get it, and not only that, then be charged administration fees and all kinds of fees in order to get it. So it was such an amazing myriad of financial gobbledygook in the midst of this tragedy, where they willingly, knowingly gave this infected blood to Canadians. So at the beginning of this pandemic, the first thing my wife said, who was infected with this blood and had to suffer through all of this, the first thing she said, they tried to kill me once. They're not going to get the chance to kill me again. I'm not listening to a damn thing they're saying.
Good advice for any. That's good advice to anybody right now. The government doesn't ever. I mean, I ask people, when has the government ever told us the truth? Have they ever told us the truth? Well, actually, Trudeau did, because he said he was going to legalize cannabis, and he went through with that promise. But besides that, I can't see anything that he's ever said come to fruition. Doesn't matter what we talk about. They're liars, 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 and liars. And, of course, they legalized cannabis, and now they're in the drug business, and they're the only people in the world that can lose money in the drug business, because they lost $1.2 billion last year. So anything they touch turns to poop, we know that. Anything they touch turns to poop, Jürgen, we know that. Who's that in your background there? That's your wife?
That's my wife in the background. She just came in from the art room, and she's listening to our show. I got the phone on speaker, so Heather's on here with me a little bit.
How are you doing, Heather?
She's
I'm doing good.
Yeah, sorry you went through that. Hey, I'm only going to go off subject here for about 1 minute, Jürgen, and I've got to tell people that if you contract hepatitis B, and I'm going to tell you this from personal experience. I contracted hepatitis B about 15 years ago. When I got introduced to Chaga, about 9 years ago, I was introduced to Chaga. I had a blood test. They told me I had hepatitis B in my blood. I went and I started using Chaga. And no word of a lie, about 6 months after I started using Chaga, I went and had another blood test, because I read about the effect on Chaga on funguses and removing viruses and attacking viruses in your body. So I wanted to see if there's anything to it. Well, lo and behold, I went and did another blood test, and guess what? Hepatitis B is gone out of my blood. So I had to do another one a couple months later just to confirm it. There is no hepatitis left in my body. So tell me it's not Chaga. It's what I changed in my diet. So if you ever get it, guys, get some Chaga, take it, and see what happens. I'm not going to talk about Chaga at all anymore. That was it. But that was a real life experience for me. So there's always a remedy, guys. There's always a remedy. And we need that so much now, Jürgen, with what's going on in our society. You're going to see people absolutely getting deathly sick here in the next little while. We know that these jabs, these jibby jabs, have a very detrimental effect on the immune system. The more you take, the more your immune ability is depleted. And there's thousands of doctors that are explaining that to us. I'm not an expert, but that's what I'm hearing. And, of course, it makes sense if you wanted a society to be completely under control and dependent on the boosters that they're bringing out. Of course, that's what you would design this bioweapon to do. It attacks the immune system. Of course, people are going to get sicker. And the more they get sicker, they're going to blame it on the variant. And the new variant will be the reason that people are getting sick. So now we got another vaccine to stick in. This is never going to go away, folks, ever. What do you think? Unless we stand up against this, Jürgen, it will never, ever go away. Period.
It's a circus, right?
Around and around and around we go.
Yeah, it's never going to stop until we decide to make it stop. And I've been saying that for a long time. We will not comply. I will not comply. I walk even prouder today without a mask than I did a year ago without a mask. And I walk even prouder today without being jabbed than I did 6 months ago when they started jabbing everybody or whenever it was. So a year ago or whatever. So I'm going to walk prouder. And the fact that they've rejected me makes me even more resilient. The fact that they banned me another 30 days on Facebook makes me even more resilient. Mm. The fact that I keep working on things to fight this system just makes me stronger. I feel so powerful. I feel we're going to win. And I feel that this kind of whatever it is we're doing, my wife and I, because we're totally against it all. Like, we're just not wearing the mask. We're just not doing it. We're not playing this game. It just feels so empowering. And the other day, I was at the grocery store, and the woman was behind the counter taking my money. And she was about the same age as me. And she says, how are you today? Barry, I looked at her, and she's wearing a mask, and I know it's corporate rules. She's got to wear a mask behind the plexiglass because that's what saves you from this wicked virus. It's just people are dropping dead everywhere. It's amazing. Yeah. I must have, I don't know, there's four bodies in front of the grocery store. I had to hop over to get to the store.
I know. It's terrible. Anyway, terrible.
I ran over six of them on the frickin' highway. It was unbelievable. They were just, I think they were homeless people. I saw a couple of tents there on the side of the road. I don't know. I wasn't sure.
They're taking away at horse carts, man.
So the lady is there behind the plexiglass, all protected from the virus, and wearing the mask. And I say to her, she says, "How are you?" I said, "Great." I said, "I woke up this morning on the right side of the grass," and she sort of gave a little grin with her eyes. I can see it, right? And because it's hard to read people, you're only reading their eyes now. You can't read their lips. You can't read their cheek. Nothing. You can only read their eyes. And this is all part of the program because children are being programmed to not discern feelings, emotions, and to become Robotrons in the new era of transhumanism that we are entering, right? If we can eliminate emotional, emotional interactions with children at an early age, it'll be easier for us to transform them into robots as they get older, right? You join that with an education system that tells them to hate themselves and to commit suicide and all that, then you've got a society that's completely controllable.
Absolutely.
Which is totally where we're headed. At any rate, I said, I feel really good because I woke up on the right side of the grass again this morning, and it seems to me you're pretty happy. Probably because you woke up on the right side of the grass as well, right? Then she goes, "Oh, yeah, I just love it. I'm so happy. Every morning I wake up on the right side of the grass." The interaction was awesome, and I could tell that she wanted so badly to take that mask off. And I think people are just at that point, they're just about ready to tell their bosses. They should be. If they're not, then we got a problem. Right.
Yeah, that's all it would take. If everybody stood up and said, "Hey, that's it. We're done. We're not going to do this anymore." It would go away tomorrow. We'd go back to our normal society. Everybody wants us to go back to a normal society. Well, you're going to have to grow a few gonads and stand up. And when you do that, all of a sudden it will go away. That's all it's going to take, folks. So simple. We cannot.
Yeah. Hey.
This is a time for civil disobedience right now. Go ahead. You got a new what? Go ahead. New song.
I got a new Christmas tree.
Really? And
it's got no needles. It's only got balls.
Okay. Enough of that. This is a family network here. We'll keep that talk.
Well, it's cool.
It's so true. Well, that's good. Everybody should go get one of those.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, I sent you that picture of those underwear, that are on the market now, right? I sent you that one, didn't I?
Did you? I don't know. I'll have to check.
That's pretty funny.
I sent you my address, by the way, in case you wanted to mail me a bud.
Why, you need some? We can't say that on the air, well, buddy. Wait a second. You know, there's people listening. The RCMP, the Canadian Revenue Services, they're all listening to this conversation.
Oh, I know. Maybe they're all listening.
Hey, maybe somebody down south of the border might be listening, because we do have an American producer.
Congratulations. Barry, you've made the top 10. This is Cesar's calling. Congratulations. You've made the top 10.
I'd be happy, Jurgen, if I made the top 100, then I'd know I'm doing something right. So if I'm not in the top 100 or 150, then I'm not doing my job at all. I know we are both there. They're watching everything we're doing. They're monitoring us. They got algorithms on us. They know what we're up to, what we stand for, who they're going to come after when the time comes. And you know, and I know we're there. We're there before the sheeple. That's for sure. My dog is, listen, guys,
well, I'll tell you,
my dog's barking at me. He's not going to stop barking until I let him out. So I got to step away here for 30 seconds. The joy of owning a dog. Just carry on. You're going to be back in 30 seconds. Sorry, bud.
All right. Well, we'll carry on here without you, Barry. We can try to cover something up here while we're gone. I'm not sure what we can talk about, but at any rate, we are certainly in a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where it's time for all of us to stand up. And I know that the people listening on this program, on this show, are probably already standing up. The problem is we've got friends and neighbors who are refusing to see the light. And it's getting more and more difficult to find ways to try to educate them based on the fact that the brainwashing is so, so deep from the media that they refuse to get away from. But I see bravery in the face of this massive adversity, and I know that, you know, for the most part, we got to pay attention to the important things, and we do.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's amazing how the media... Now, the media will not tell us about Andrew and Epstein, but they'll give you 24/7 Harry and Meghan. Right now, the Maxwell trial was run over by the Smollett trial. You've got this ridiculous Hollywood hoaxer is a bigger deal. And it is a big deal because he could have started a race war. There's no question about it, which was their goal anyways. But it's a complete ignoring of the Maxwell trial. And the fact that the prosecution has rested their case after 10 days is very disturbing. I'm not sure. I followed it. I've been following it. And there's this gal, New York Nadia, that I've been following. She goes to the trial every day. And she'd been given some stories as what some of the girls were talking about. And it's just a family show. We can't talk about it here, but. There's some very revealing transcripts that have come out of that trial, and I'm just hoping that it'll go further than what we've seen so far, because this is a joke. And here's the other joke. I don't know if you know about this, but there was a huge party where Alec Baldwin was invited to be the MC, and he was there a couple of nights ago, or maybe it was five days ago. It was a human rights thing, and every big-hitting liberal Democrat was there to support Alec Baldwin after he shot that girl on the movie set. So this guy could basically walk. I don't think he's going to face any criminal charges even, or if he does, he's already pointed the finger at all those around him. He's not to blame for anything. The guy's a walking narcissistic demon as far as I'm concerned. He's just the worst of worst.
Mm-hmm.
And here we've got all these distractions, the Smollett trial. You look at what happened with Rittenhouse. You look at Maxwell. You look at, it's just, I don't even know. I wake up every day and I think, oh, thank God I have my easel and I have my painting. I can sit there and it takes me to a world where I'm just gone from all of this madness. And I have my grandchildren and blessed that I can hide in and cuddle and, the yoke of oppression has been installed on humanity, guys, and they boast we should own nothing and be happy. Rent what you need and live in a cubicle and be happy.
Everything they're doing.
The tide of humanity rising. It's terrible.
It is. Everything they're doing is to isolate us into big cities. We see that big push coming. You're spot on with your assessment of distractions, because they don't want us looking at the Maxwell trial at all with the big players involved. So how many distractions have they brought out in the last month here? Just you think about it. You know, Alec Baldwin, like you said, Rittenhouse, and now this this clown down there that fabricated a story, had all the mainstream media raving at the American public that you're white supremacist, you're racist, blah, blah, blah. And now we know it's the biggest, well, one of the biggest hoax played out in the last couple of years, but it was just.
And they still support them.
Of course, they still support them. And it was all designed to be a distraction to get us not looking at what's really going on around us right now. And that's the killing of children by injecting poisons into their body. That drives me nuts, Jürgen. Of all the things they're doing right now, they're coming after our kids. You know, if a pedophile goes to prison, he'll get beaten up and killed. You know why that is? Because there's an instinct inside of us all to protect our children. And here these evil, evil people are now literally going to kill children, what, to protect adults for the safety of society? I am so sick of this. What are people doing, Jürgen? The government comes out. If you listen to Trudeau every day, the same thing comes out of his mouth. These vaccines are safe, they're effective, and they're the only way forward to defeat this crazy pandemic killer virus, which it isn't in our society. But on the other side of the mouth, he's telling people that, oh, they're not really safe. They don't really stop you from getting it. They don't stop you from spreading it. But they're safe and effective. Which one is it? You're gonna. I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah, I'm totally confused as well. But
yeah, what is it?
Yeah, I see them right. Hey, listen, we've got a thing happening here in southern Alberta, I guess, come the new year, where schools may be bringing in these vaccine clinics into the schools, and there's a huge movement to pull the kids out. So we're going to see what happens in the new year here. I know our group, all the kids are coming out in January.
I think
they're
going to
vaccine clinics in the schools. Well, you're not going to be able to know if your kid is vaccinated or not. Like, the time has come for all the mama bears to rise up.
The insanity of that statement alone, you know, kids can't get a license until they're 16. They can't drink until they're 18, blah, blah, blah. But they can tell their teacher at 5 or 6 years old, I want to take a vaccine. Are we in La La Land? Are we really in La La Land? Because it seems like it. I want to pick up my phone every day and go, hey, Scotty, beam me out of here. But unfortunately, it doesn't work.
Who are these people? Hey, who are these people, Barry, that are doing this? You look at the people in charge. You look at the teachers' unions. They're in charge.
Yep.
They're doing
Brenda
a lot
Lucky,
of this.
Teresa right? Tam.
And so who are these people? We need to know exactly who these people are. Go to their houses and let them know we're not happy with them. This is personal. You're coming after my children. You're not allowed to come after my children.
Give it to them, man.
It's just, when do we make it personal? They've made it personal already. When do we fight back and say, no, you cannot do this? And you're not in a position of power anymore. The power you have is gone because we don't agree with this.
Unelected bureaucrats.
When do we take that power back? Our rightful place. When do we take it back? We need to take it back. It's our time.
You're spot on. You know, if you look at, if people were to look into the background of Teresa Tam, Bonnie Henry, and study their background, you'll find out that their connections are globalist to the core. They're involved in all globalist organizations to the T, and they are dictating to the Canadian public how we're going to handle this pandemic. Unelected bureaucrats are absolutely dictating from week to week what freedoms we lose and what freedoms we get to take with us and keep. It's going to come to a stop because people are starting to really wake up, Jürgen. And I'm going to have to go with that, because if this doesn't stop, then we're looking at a very, very bleak future for our children, man. Do you want to live in a world where your body autonomy does not belong to you anymore? It belongs to the government. They're going to mandate to you every medical procedure that you put into your body. Is that where we want to go? Well, people got to realize, Jürgen, that this isn't about a vaccine. It wasn't about a virus. From day one, it was about a vaccine. and they are evil, evil people. I can't believe this is going on in my world. I really shake my head. I wake up every day and I'm going, like, what is it going to take for the society to see what's going on around them? I think what's going to happen here, though, Jürgen, they've been checking our kids now, and I think they're going to poke Mama Bear in the eye, and if she wakes up, then this is going to come to a stop. And I hate to say it, if it's going to take a few children dying for that to happen, I don't wish death on anybody, but at this point, we're in a very critical situation in our country, and we need them to rise up. And if that's what it's going to take, I know I shouldn't even say that, because I don't want death to happen to anybody, but it seems like we're dealing with a society that's just refusing to look at what's going on around them, that they really need a big slap in the head right now. I think them ministering these vaccines to our children might be that slap in the head. Go ahead.
You know, it was in the early 2000s when I started to complain that I forget what year it was. Anyways, I started to protest about the windmills coming in our area, or the wind turbines. We don't call them windmills. They're kind of cute. The wind turbines. And what happened was I discovered then that even our municipal council was sold out because I said, you know, the vast majority of us disagree with them coming into this area, and yet you people aren't fighting. You're not doing anything. And they basically told me we can't fight. It's all based in Toronto. Then I kind of looked at the mayor there. I said, then why are we paying you? Why are you here? You're supposed to fight for us. You're at the ground level here. You're supposed to fight for us. Us who live out here in the country, we don't want these things around us. And yet you're saying the only people that can fight this are the people in Toronto, the ones who want it here? They're not going to fight to have them not here. They want them here. So who's fighting for us in Toronto? Well, So what you're telling us is even if the majority of us don't want it, we've elected you to sit here and not fight for us. Is that right? Is that what you're saying? And that's exactly what he was saying. Well, I can't fight it because it's part of the new Green Energy and Economy Act, which is the same kind of nonsense they want to throw into Alberta here with this Green New Deal and all this garbage, all this environmental BS meant to transfer wealth to the lazy takers and those that want to come up with inventions to suck more of our money out of us. Instead of going with the natural forces of energy like the Tesla stuff that works, right?
Well, I'm sure it's the same in Alberta as it is in BC.
Goes back to the statement I made at the start of the show, Barry, and that was when the guy said from the United Nations, the worst thing we can do is give those useless eaters cheap energy. And that's
I'm sure it's the same in Alberta as it is in British Columbia, that all mayors in British Columbia are members of the councils of mayors for British Columbia, and they are just carrying out government mandates at the municipal level. So how we stop it, Jürgen, and my good friend Ron says it all the time, that people want to put a stop to this, all we have to do is take back the power at the municipal levels, get elected to your councils, and then all this globalist agenda can be put to a stop at your local level, and the government can't come in and mandate what you're going to do. We're seeing that being done now in a town in Alberta, completely it stopped all globalist agendas in their town. They completely replaced the whole council. I forget the name of the town, but that's an inspiring story. And I've also heard of a community in Northern Ontario that done the same thing, that they've the majority of the council now is people that are against the green agendas. The mayor is still globalist, and when he tries to implement these changes, they just vote it down. And there's nothing he can do about it. So there's the way we change this. People have to have self-responsibility. You have to get involved. We can't just talk about it anymore. You have to get out there, boots on the ground, and that's a very effective way to do it, my friend. Go ahead. We only got a couple minutes left here, Jürgen. Went by real quick. So I'll get you a couple more thoughts on what we see going on, and last minute to say hello to people and where you can find you. I don't know if you're still doing radio. I don't know if that's still part of your life, but it's always a pleasure to have you in, and I'll get you to share a few of your last thoughts.
Thanks, Barry. You know what? Everything is looking pretty grim, but I see before me a sea of essential human beings only wanting freedom. I see a lot of people just wanting to be free. I see a planetary shift in consciousness that will elevate us all into a brighter and prosperous new reality. I think The Great Reset doesn't have a chance against the Great Awakening, because the Great Reset is about darkness, and the Great Awakening is about a movement of light and truth. And I believe that the truth will always bury deceptive propaganda and the shininess that it has, basically that envelop our lives on a daily basis, right? I think we as a people will be pulled away from the dark. We will show our mettle as people. We will rise and be brave. The dark side does not have a chance against the light. The light shines through the dark. It cuts through like a blade, as we know. And, you know, most of us can see climate change, taxation, kind of overriding radiation leaking into the Pacific Ocean as a joke. You know, these elites fly private jets. They lecture us on our way of life. But it's not our fault. We know it's not our fault. So carry on. We have to stay resilient. We have to stay strong. We will win this fight by being positive, by loving, by having a caring nature, being a community of love and real caring, not about money, but from the heart and soul of knowing that humanity will rise because humanity is beautiful. We have so many beautiful things within us all that we can share between us that make this place a great place to live. And it'll come, folks. It's going to be a little darker, but it'll come. We're going to win this thing, Barry. I'm with you. I think we're going to win.
We don't have a choice, do we, Jürgen? And you know what? It's always a pleasure having you in because you're a vast knowledge of information. Some of the stuff you talk about, I really have a hard time keeping up with it. And I love your heart, my friend. I know you're in this for all the right reasons, that your heart's broken. And we're going to fight this to the death. And we're not going to lose it, folks. We're going to win this. It's just how much crap we have to go through before we get there. But we are going to get there. So let's make the crap as little as we can. Let's stand up right now and tell them to all pound sand, because that's all it's going to take. Jürgen, always good to have you in. And I hope to have you back in again in the near future, my friend.
Thanks, Barry. All the best and Merry Christmas to everybody. If I don't talk to you, Merry Christmas and have a wonderful New Year. Things will turn great in the spring. You wait and see.
Merry Christmas to you, Jürgen. Bye for now.
Bye for now, Barry.
Okay, folks, I'll be back in a few minutes with Kellyanne Wolf, and she's got lots to talk about. Back in 3 or 4 minutes.
When you're up on the mountain, you've got peace of mind like you never know. But things change when you're down in the valley. Really do.
God of the
folks, and thanks again to Jürgen for coming in and filling in on short notice. Always great to have, man. I've been looking forward to this third hour because I get to talk with Kellyanne Wolf. She's been on my show quite a few times, and I know she's doing all kinds of great things right now to fight this craziness we see going on in our country. Welcome back to the show, Kelly. Always a pleasure to have you in.
Great. Thank you so much for having me again, Barry. So there's been so much going on. It's absolutely insane. I've been, once again, continuously driving all over Canada. And 2 weeks ago, I was approached by a man named James Bowder and his partner, Martin. And they are the founders of an organization called Canada Unity. And when they came to me with this paper, and it's called an MOU, which is a Memorandum of Understanding. And when I read through this Memorandum of Understanding, of which they planned on serving to the Governor General and the Senate of Canada, I was in awe. So the language in this document was absolutely fantastic. And what they intended to do was gain as many signatures as possible from the population, which they're still doing, and serve this document to the Senate to order them to reverse all of the tickets given under COVID, to reinstate all of the jobs that have been that people have lost due to COVID and due to forced vax mandates. Mm-hmm. And to install the most important, to install a civilian oversight committee on every single level of government in order to hold accountability to everybody under this political agenda. And I thought it was absolutely, there's so much more that's involved in the MOU. And I thought it was so absolutely wonderful. And when they came to me a couple of weeks ago, they only had 1,000 signatures. And I thought that was ridiculous. And the reason why is they had a lack of resources to all the other organizations in the country. And of course, as you know, I am attached to 447 different organizations across Canada. So I jumped right on board, and I did that immediately. And what happened was within 2 weeks, we are now almost at 100,000 signatures. There's literally a signature a second happening, and Canadians are signing onto this document. So I took them to Quebec, and we sat down in person for what they like to call la table ronde, which was the round table. And I'm not sure if you're aware. Well, I'm sure you're aware of the protests that have happened in Quebec and how large they get. Well, they're extremely well organized in that province when it comes to protesting, and it comes to all the different active groups and organizations that are resisting against this political agenda. And so I introduced them to all the leaders there, and we got them all on board. And then from there, we went to Quebec City and did the same thing. We attended a meditation in Quebec City where I presented to the public. And then we did another one in Montreal. We called it Code Red. And that was led by a man named Maxime, who is he's an active duty police officer, but he's on suspend because he stood up on the side of the people. Right. And then we went to Ottawa. And now there was a lot of controversy that happened. As you know, Barry, I've got quite a bit of opposition, especially in Ontario. Especially with the fact that I've known Doug Ford since I was 4 years old. So he has taken upon himself to hire political provocateurs in order to try to affect almost every single action that I take and any of the organizations that I am attached to take, especially in Ontario, because we are very effective. So there was one of those provocateurs got to James, and some people have their own egos, and James had a bit of his own ego, and so I have separated from Canada Unity. However, I still have full authority from the author of the MOU to promote and encourage others to promote that MOU as if it's their own. And that's what's happening right now. So if there's anybody listening out there, you want to jump on to canada-unity.com/MOU today, read that MOU and sign that baby. Because this is what this is going to do. It's going to change the game for Canadians. It is going to change the game. If you are at a loss or facing a loss of your job, if you have children that are being forced to vaccinate in order to attend school, if you have a business that you don't want to be affected or locked down, you need to sign this MOU immediately, because it is one of the most serious actions that is happening in our country. Now, the MOU is not a legally binding document until we get a specific amount of signatures. So we need a minimum of 1.5 million Canadians to sign it. And at the most to force the Senate to sign or resign would be 5.5 million. And in a country that has, 35 million people, it shouldn't be that hard at 5.5 signatures.
That's the number necessary to get the government to respond to this correctly?
Absolutely. To force them to sign or resign from their positions. Now, aside from that, I've got something much more important. So I believe that this government that most Canadians believe has been around for 150 years, but has actually been around for 300, I think it's time for them to go. I think it is time for Canadians to come together and structure a brand new society. And we have all the tools we need to do that. Right now, we have hospitals and schools opening to the public across Canada. And they are crown free, ministry free. And it's quite a beautiful thing. We are already beginning to build a society. We have farms across Canada that contain access to untapped, independent natural resources that are being developed. We are hooking all of these farmers and their crops and their lands up with the financial resources in order to expand and secure them free from the crown, which means we're building economic independence separate from the crown. And now the development of these things is going to create millions of jobs and billions in revenue. So, you know, there's so much happening. It's almost impossible.
A lot of this is news to me, Kelly. I've been following you a bit, but of what you just talked about is all news to me, but I'm interested. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit more.
Yep. So we have decided to organize a national hand-picked committee across the entire country. So we have some of the founders of the most active organizations from every single province that are collaborating, that are coming together and building a national committee under the Canadian Democratic Defense Association. Now, the difference between an association and an organization is that an association does not give out directives. So the association becomes a hub where all organizations that are looking to bring their actions to fruition, that are dedicated and committed to making a change and a betterment of our society and clean out our corrupt institutions and provide the next several generations with the life, liberty, and security that they deserve, are all coming on board. And we are doing this national committee, and we are going to then branch it out into the each municipality. And we've already got municipalities joining. We have a Telegram group called Conventions, and anybody who is looking to participate in this venture and can bring to the table, you know, expertise in skills, everything from marketing to administration to, you know, to access to resources, to fundraising, we need it all. And this is a way for all Canadians to participate in building a parallel society. So I find that the number one reason why so many Canadians are complying and giving in to the tyrannical demands of vax mandates and passports and all this nonsense is because they don't have any other option available. So we have three provinces that have been in constitutional conventions for the last 41 years, and that's Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan. And we looked in and did some research as to why nobody has sealed the deal in these provinces. And we found out that it's because nobody has actually knocked on the doors and gotten the signatures of 38% of any one of these provinces, which is required to seat and to elect and seat a brand new de jure judiciary. Yes. Now, the best way I can explain this is that most Canadians don't comprehend our structure, our governing structure. And most Canadians have no idea that our government is actually a business. It is a corporation. It is literally called the Corporation of the Federal Government of Canada. And it is owned by another corporation. And you can actually trace the account of the Federal Corporation of the Government of Canada to a banking system located in Washington. It's absolutely absurd. But here's the best part about that, is that Canadians can revoke their consent to being governed by this corporation, because it is a fictitious corporate, it is a fictitious government. So we are absolutely dead set on building a brand new draft constitution. And we're doing this by combining the current existing five drafts that exist across Canada. And we're going to put their authors and their research teams that came with them together in this committee. And we are going to come up with a brand new one-piece document, constitution, which will be voted on by the committee and by majority consensus, that we are going to be offering in these provinces in order to get those signatures. And I am personally going to take to the road and knock on those doors to get them. And yeah,
sounds
there's
like
a lot happening. It's a lot to take on, but you know, if you know how I am, go big or go home.
Well, it seems like the monumental challenge you're going to be facing here is getting this information out to Canadians. Like you said a few minutes ago, a lot of Canadians, they kind of have a basic understanding how our system works, but they really don't know what's going on in our governments. And to get this information out to them, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge you face right now, because to me, it sounds pretty logical. Like I said, I'm just kind of – I sat in on one of your meetings there about 3 weeks ago when I was listening to what was being said. At this point, what we have as a government in Canada is not working. It never will work for the Canadian people. So we do have
That's
to
right.
change it. It has to be changed at a bottom level. And you got my interest. I'd like to hear a little bit more about it, Kelly, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I absolutely, because it's all about access to information. What I would suggest to all your listeners is to log on to the website, The Myth is Canada. So, and under the submenu, you will find a subsection called Solutions. Click onto that section and you will learn what a constitution is, why it is important, and how to construct it. And like the work that Doug Force, who is the founder of the Myth is Canada, has done from lesson one and in all his lessons is absolutely the most important information that any Canadian out there could ever receive. You know, we have just against all these COVID restrictions, we have risen the interest of 60% and counting of the population of Canada. They are now all paying attention in a political sphere as well as in a social sphere. And everybody is worried because people are feeling the consequences of allowing a government to dictate to you. And I'd like to remind all Canadians that, the government is public service. And if they're no longer serving you, then it is time for you to fire them. You know, the difference with Canada and the majority of the world, the difference with Commonwealth nations and the majority of the world is the fact that the people are still a sovereign people. Right? So when, prior to 1934, the family births were recorded in the family Bible. They brought for the purpose of taking away your rights. And Canadians need to comprehend this, okay? This is why Children's Aid can come to your house and take your children, because when you're in the hospital and you give birth, and this is to all the mothers out there, and they bring you that birth registration form so that your child can have, quote, benefits, and I say that extremely sarcastically, yeah. What you're actually doing is giving up your rights to the property of your children. And your children, by registering their birth and providing them with a birth certificate, you are actually creating a corporate fiction under the corporation of the federal government of Canada. And your child then becomes a ward of the state, and you have the use of the property, but you no longer have the ownership over the property, and your child becomes that property. And it's a very scary thing when you actually sit down and think about it. And I've actually tested this theory personally. My son, to this day, is still completely unregistered. Now, the questions that people would ask out there is, well, what happens when it comes to school? What happened when it comes to healthcare? Well, here's the thing. Under the law in Canada, the actual laws that exist, the Constitution that is supposed to represent the people, education and healthcare is free to every Canadian. So, and I've never had a problem. My son goes to school. I use his live birth statement to register him. Mm. And when it comes to his health care, I take him in, to see the doctor. I get billed for it, and I send that bill to the treasurer, to the office of the treasurer, with a nice little note, and it gets written off. It gets what's called discharged. I proved it. And, I had a very, very difficult separation from the kid's father, and there was times when Children's Aid was involved. Now, when they got involved, they had no interest in discussing any aspects regarding my son. He was not a ward of the state, and therefore, he was of no business of theirs.
Hmm. So it's a question.
Yeah.
Question. Somebody that unknowingly registered their child at birth, filled out the birth certificate, and went down the normal channels, is there a way of them reversing that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And every single person out there who has a birth certificate can absolutely, listen, it takes informed consent under the law for anybody to, for any contract to take place. Informed consent. Right. And if that, if you were not informed, then that contract is fraudulent under the law. So you absolutely do. And if everybody, to be honest, if everybody just wanted the government to make everything stop overnight, the truth is this: you only have to do one thing. Show up at your legislative buildings and cut your SIN cards in half. Drop it at the door and watch how fast the government spins. But people are afraid to do that because they don't have any alternative to go to. You understand? And this is a means of mass control. So what we are doing is we are building that alternative to offer to every single Canadian. And it's working. It's absolutely working. But what we're lacking, what we need is sponsorship. I mean, just fighting a domestic beast here. We are fighting against an international beast. Well, the limitless money comes from the stealing of the monetary value of our natural resources. Canada is a country on earth.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be paying a penny of taxes in this country. Not a penny. Yet we're the most taxed people in the world, Kelly.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a reason for that. You know what I mean? It was like the government stole over $33 trillion from our natural resources just in the last 10 years. $33 trillion, you know, and they're really scared and they're really on edge right now because we have access. We have unified our French and our English. We have unified our First Nations and Canadian citizens, and everybody is now working together. And they're working together to build these untapped natural resources, which means we have the ability to build economic independence free from crown control. And we're doing it. Excuse me. And we're absolutely doing it. We've got farms out in Alberta that just bought herds and herds of cattle, Angus beef, that they'll be able to sell for, so far, $6 a pound. We've got farms in Ontario, you know, that are all crown free. On crown-free land, you know, and so with these shortages that they're planning of the food supplies, they're going to find themselves with a short stick because our Indigenous have come up, all of our First Nations and tribal people have come up to the plate to protect the people. And all they ask in return is that the people help them protect the land.
Interesting.
You know, and Canadians, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we could institute the barter system into what you're doing, would even be more effective, where we can keep any possible taxes away from the people that are destroying us. Go ahead.
That's right. Well, what Canadians need to comprehend, because there's been such an intentional division between our tribal people and the rest of Canada, and this, all the divisions in our society exist because the government imposes them on us. But the truth is this: the reason why they do that is because once the unification happens between the people and the original signatory tribes of the land, the government is powerless. First and foremost, you need to comprehend why there are reserves. Okay? There are reserves because reserves are a fictional way of pandering to Indians while at the same time stripping them of their rights. Okay? Now, Canadians need to understand that for the last 5 years, Native women have been outbursting the entire country at a 4-to-1 ratio. This is why the government planned and plotted to poison all of the reserve waters across Canada. It was fetal genocide without accountability. We have the documents and the paperwork to prove this. And why do they do this? They do this because the Crown, being a corporation, can never own a allodial title until all the bloodlines to the original tribal signatory tribes that own the land are dead. And this was the significance when Pat King and myself occupied the Alberta legislative grounds. We occupied because because we had a copy of the Queen's Bargain. And in the Queen's Bargain, it clearly declares that the people who own this land will own it indefinitely, as long as the waters run, as long as the sun shines, and as long as their blood exists. So they have been doing everything they can since colonization to kill off these bloodlines. And they've been very successful. So they invented the Indian Act. They literally, there was the proclamation in 1763, King Henry, it came in with this proclamation, and literally what happened was this. He just decided to declare one day, after arriving here, you Indians, you're going to go stay on that land, and we're going to have this much of the land. And that's it. That's how reserves were created. And then they implemented what they called the Indian Act. And without informed consent, because of the language barriers, they stood there with a smile on their face saying, we're going to give you this much land, and we're going to take that much land, and we're going to give you all these benefits. You won't have to pay taxes, and you won't have to do this. But in the background, we're going to be killing you. And without you knowing, because you can't read this language, we are going to make you also wards of the states. So just like I just explained about the birth certificate, every single Indian status card makes every single tribal person a ward of the state. And that was why just recently what has happened out in the Wet'suwet'en territory, where TC Energy was granted permission by a judge in a court of law against the wishes of the Wet'suwet'en people who have, you know, on their territory, on their reserve, they were granted permission to invade that reserve and build their pipeline. Mm. Yeah, and that which completely violates all the treaty laws, and this happened also with another tribe, starts with a W, I think it's the West Kauai tribe or something like that in New Brunswick, and again it's TC Energy. So let me ask a question to all your viewers: do you think it would be fair if I came into your house unannounced and uninvited, and set up shop? No, of course not. You know, and when it comes to the pipelines, because the government will say, oh, they're against building pipelines, they're against jobs, they're against this, they're against that. That is also not the case. So the Wet'suwet'en and many other bands and clans from out west have provided the government with a clear path to build a pipeline that will not affect any of the waters or natural resources surrounding it or any of the people, and it won't cause them to become sick. But they have an ulterior agenda, and that agenda is to access for free, at the cost of whoever they kill, the rest of the minerals that exist within the Wet'suwet'en territory surrounding that specific path. So, like, people need to realize what is going on here. Canada is the richest country in natural resources. If you believe for one second that a government who will allow the Taliban, who kidnaps and rapes women and children, cuts out their organs and sells them on the black market for money, okay? If you believe that it's okay to trust people who participate in that, if you believe they won't do it here, there is something wrong with you. Mm. There is something wrong. Our prime minister has just allowed the Taliban, in Afghanistan, and supporting the Taliban in Afghanistan to run security operations around a pipeline in Afghanistan, regardless of the fact that this specific group kills and murders and rapes women and children and then cuts out their organs to sell them. What makes you think in any right mind that they won't do that to you and your kids?
Mm. Well, you know, Canadians are sleeping on the street. You got the government spending another $1 billion right now to bring in 40,000 people from Afghanistan. Well, why
That's
is that
right.
being done? Why is that being done?
Well, there's more than themselves. Yeah.
Well, let me just make a comment on that, because if we sit back, Kelly, as just somebody that really isn't awake and they're kind of just kind of humming and hawing, they know that there's something very bad going on in government, but they can't really figure it out. Well, this alone, what the government just came out and announced about spending $1 billion to bring 40,000 Afghanistans to Canada immediately. If that doesn't get you asking all kinds of questions, then you really truly are asleep. But that's what this government's doing right now. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yep. Well, we've had enough here in Canada. We have had enough. And I, as you know, Barry, I have committed myself over the last 2 years. And I'm not going to stop, you know, through all my arrests, all the brutality that I've experienced, I will not stop. And I am so blessed and grateful to have such a network of Canadian family members now, because that's what they've become across this country, who are just as dedicated and committed to providing our, not only our children, but the next several generations with a proper life. You know, Canada has a reputation worldwide. And we need to uphold it. We used to be a prideful people. We were a very prideful people. We are the people who end wars. We are the humanitarians that bring aid to other countries and provide shelter and love and examples, you know, and that we're losing it under this ridiculous, tyrannical government. They have completely sold out. We have filed over 38 billion dollars in liens against every government body and every co-conspirating corporation involved in this political agenda. And it absolutely is a political agenda. So this is why you're starting to see criminal charges come forth on government bodies and ministries across the entire country, because we have the evidence. And to every mother out there, you really need to take, you know, to take yourself out and away from the media and start thinking about this. Are you willing to take a chance that your child might be subjected to being killed by these injections? Because I know you don't want to take that chance. So you need to open your mind and you need to look in and ask questions. Every Canadian out there needs to ask questions, regardless of the consequence, if your answer is no, because you are not alone, and your kids deserve a life. They deserve freedom. They deserve the ability to develop in a healthy, good way. They deserve friends. They deserve to experience things. They deserve much more than being forced to sit down in an institutional prison-like environment with masks on their face that prevent them from recognizing human empathy. You know, the only time ever throughout all of history where people were ever forced en masse to wear masks was during slavery. This is slavery. This is absolutely slavery. And the system that they came up for, like for sustainable development, okay, is based upon a resource-based society. Now, I will say this, Jacques Fresco and the Venus Project, if you look into it, is a resource-based society. And this man was a genius. However, they have perverted his plans. And they've done it in a way to enslave the people. And this is, they use fear tactics all the time to do this, and it drives me absolutely mad. And for every protester out there that might hear this podcast, okay, if you want to overthrow the media, you need every single sign and banner that your people are carrying at those protests to say pro on them. Because you will completely break the media in one sweep. If every single protester in Canada went out to their protests and put pro-life, pro-choice, you know what I mean, pro-freedom, pro-this, how could a media possibly say you're anti-anything? They can't.
I think we should surround CBC and forcefully walk in there and drag everyone out of the office and replace it with people that are actually going to expose to the Canadian people what's going on in our country. And you'd see this thing come to an end overnight, Kelly. The media is, of course, you know, and I know, the biggest enemy that we have now, of the propaganda machine set in place by the Trudeau government, the billions of dollars that he is funding outlets to provide nothing but propaganda from the government, has got to come to a stop. They're the biggest enemy we have in this country, bar none. Would you agree?
Well, you know what? Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And you know what else, Barry? Like I said it before, and it's really sad. Like, we have been trying for the last 2 years, as hard as we can, to keep things as peaceful as possible. And what this government absolutely requires is for people to start rising radically so that they can have a justification in order to impose martial law and turn our military on us. So I'm very proud of every Canadian out there for preventing that from happening.
Absolutely.
So I was discussing, I was discussing on a roundtable with a bunch of other leaders, you know, what sort of bold, you know, demonstration could we put forth that won't raise any violence, but that could possibly really change the game. And I offered, as nuts as I am, to have a crane hang me in a see-through box. Plexiglass box in the middle of Dundas Square. I'm telling you, this is what I thought of doing, and with a fake gun. So if they try to cut me out, I will threaten to do myself in, which I would never do. We know that, and stalk me with some dried freaking food, some dried fruits and some nuts and enough water, and a full access to internet and battery packs galore. Or like solar powered battery packs, because if you do that, I will go. Well, that's what I'm saying, because then I will stay in that box. I will work out every day. I would quit smoking completely, and I would go live constantly, and the mainstream media would have no choice but to cover me, because I would hang there. I would hang there.
Radical times require radical moves, Kelly, don't they?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they would all set up in Dundas Square and watch me 24-7. And during that 24-7, I would be 100% handing out resources constantly. Right? So,
well, I think lots of fun. Everybody else in Canada, I think we should get everybody else in Canada thinking about ingenious solutions like you just put forward. And boy, did we turn this thing around. But I really feel it's time to surround CBC, because they work for us. We're paying them to propagandize us. We're paying them to destroy our world. And that has got to come to a stop. If people only knew what was really going on. And, you know, Kelly, a lot of people are starting to wake up in this country, but we're still dealing with a lot of sheeple. We've got to get them awakened. People say, well, don't worry about the sheeple, Barry. Just worry about the people that are listening to what's being said. But I disagree. We need us all to stand in mass. And if we did that, it would come to a stop, Kelly. But what you're
doing it's coming.
I know it's coming. I know. I feel a change in society. I said it a couple hours ago on my show that we had a little get-together here in Terrace yesterday of people of like mind that wanted to interact and meet each other in our community. And I was absolutely appalled at the amount of people that showed up, and the cross people in our society from all sectors of our society were there. We had an RCMP officer speaking at the talk yesterday. But I'm going to go back to what you said there a few minutes ago, Kelly, and it's really important that people understand that what this government is going to try to do, and they're doing it right now, is they're going to try and put us into a situation where our backs are up against the wall, and we're going to come out and we're going to go to armed confrontation against this government. That's, I believe, is inevitable if they keep pushing what they're pushing. That being said, we cannot do that, folks. That is the last thing that we want to do. We do not want to go to an armed confrontation against this government. And Kelly, the only reason I say that, and I've talked about it on my shows many, many times, is that these people have toys set away in their little toolbox for that particular time when they're going to force society to go to armed confrontation against the government. I honestly believe, not getting too much into Star Trek kind of talk, they have toys put away that will make our guns obsolete. So we cannot go to armed confrontation. We know our court systems are totally corrupt in this country. We know that the RCMP are under the thumb of Justin Trudeau, but we still have the ability to hold these guys to account. What you're talking about right now, I believe that is the solution. But in the meantime, we still have an opportunity to stop them in the courts of law, even though they're completely corrupt. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but what else do we have at this point?
I will tell you what we have. Nope. I will tell you what we have. What we have is constitutional conventions that are happening in three provinces. And all we, so what is going to happen is this. If I can obtain the sponsorship to help the Canadian Democratic Defense Association, we are going to take key people from every single province on this trip to obtain those signatures. Once those signatures are obtained from any one of those three provinces, already in the touring phase, we will, the population of that province will then be able to elect and seat a brand new provincial judiciary, okay, which becomes a legislation. That as second we seat a judiciary in any province, the entire corporation of the federal government will have to submit to their authority. That is the law. And every other province will have to follow suit.
I guess my question would be at this point, will the government listen to you? Even though it's
the government, we don't, that's what you're missing. What you're missing is we don't need them to listen to us. We are building a new government, a de jure one. The government that exists is called a de facto government. It is a fiction because it is a corporation. Once we seat a new a new judiciary that has been elected by any one provincial population, that becomes what's called a de jure government. And there is no corporation that could ever hold authority over a de jure, publicly elected de jure government. It becomes the government of Canada. So people, we need your support. And that's it. We're looking for sponsorship and we're looking for administration staff on a national scale. And we've already got it developed. We've got committees working already and we've already expanded provincially. And this is absolutely happening. We are building new ministries with hospitals. We are building new ministries with education. We are building new ministries for agriculture and for trade. We have access to clean technology where we can turn the burning of garbage into free energy that could be sold internationally. This is happening. Yep, this is happening right now. And this is happening free from the Crown and any Crown-affiliated corporation. And we are working night and day. I've only been sleeping like 2.5 hours a day, Barry. But that's because every single person out there is worth it. Every single one of your kids are worth it. Every single one of your parents are worth it. Every single generation that follows, all of our own, are worth it. And the only way to do it is to get active and participate.
Well, there's a call out today, folks. Let's really take a good look at what's going on here, because what Kelly's talking about makes a lot of sense to me. We are in radical times, and radical times require radical moves, Kelly. And yep. This would be something that I think would shake the establishment. Well, it would shake them to the core. I'm not an expert on legal jargon. I listen to Doug Force a lot. I talk with Doug a lot. I'm glad that he's involved with you because he's a very knowledgeable man.
I love that man.
Well, so do I. I've had him on my show many times, and he always brings good information. But legal jargon is not one of my strong points in life. I've been quite clear about that in the past. I try to understand it, but I kind of get lost. But that being said, I understand what you're saying here today, and it really kind of makes sense to me. It's a way that we can get involved. 5 million people out of 37 million. Well, let's just think about that for a sec. How many people are actually going to support it that have come to Canada in, let's say, the last 10 years under government and are given a free paycheck and all kinds of quirks when they arrive in Canada? Are they going to be willing to embrace something like that? And what percentage?
Absolutely. Well, listen, we've got 60% of the population.
I'm just looking at it from a different perspective. That's all.
Of course, But we've got 60% of the population already in support of our movement, of our collective freedom movement across this entire country. I know this because we collected the data over the 19 times I've traveled across the country since January. And this is the exact reason why every single politician during the last election was trying to be present at every single freedom rally, because they wanted to ride the coattails of the people who had the attention of the people in order to make themselves valid. So we have way more leverage than anyone out there realizes. You know, the Canadian Democratic Defense Association is going to be selling memberships at $10. That's it, $10. And if even 5% of the population buys a membership to contribute to building a parallel society to offer a remedy to all Canadians, that will be enough money to fund everything that we're doing. Hmm. That's it. And they can, and they will get a certificate that says I helped make history, you know, with a stamp from the Canadian Democratic Defense Association, and we will publicly admonish them on a list. And everything, we've already built a treasury, and it's also a freedom group. It's called Freedom Lovers Canada. Anybody who's looking to participate in this venture can donate on the website, freedomloverscanada.com and .ca. There's a donate button there, or you can e-transfer to them as well, and just let them know that you are donating for the Canadian Democratic Defense Association. And all expenditures, all donations, all expenditures will be published on freedomloverscanada.com as well. All receipts will be given and provided publicly immediately.
Hmm. Well, send me the website. I'll send you $10, Kelly. No problem.
Thank you so much. So, and that's what I'm saying. And everybody who participates, it will be participating in making historical changes. You know, we're going to be providing the most active organizations across Canada with the funds and the access to the resources that they need and that they've required for so long to bring their actions to fruition.
Well, it's definitely time for a change, because the path we're on right now, you said earlier, Kelly, I wouldn't wish the future that's coming to this country right now to anybody or any child.
Nope.
And we know if it nope. keeps going, buddy, we're going to look at such a bleak history and a bleak future for this country that so unnecessary. Like you said, we're the richest country in the world. We shouldn't be, as Canadians, paying a penny of tax. We should be getting a check from the government every month. So we got to turn that around and get rid of this corrupt yep. system that's destroying our lives, Kelly. Now they're talking about the Great Reset. Here it comes.
Close yeah. Well, the next. Kidding. No, you will eat the bugs and you will be happy. That's what he says.
Yeah.
You will
yeah.
own nothing, you nothing and you will eat the happy. Bugs and you will be happy. You will not be happy. You will not be happy.
500 square foot cubicle.
It's ridiculous. Cubicle. They're yeah. trying to build humanity into an ant farm. You know, your children are worth way more. They should have the opportunity to blossom and become whatever it is they choose they want to be. If you like to submit and comply to this agenda is to essentially destroy creation entirely. In its entirety, you are beautiful, living, breathing beings. And you were made under God when God made you with free will. You need to express that. You need to trust in God who made that a part of you. And you need to defend your offspring in the same way that God gave you life.
I agree. I don't know what to say to that. I couldn't agree with you more. We're in a time in history right now where the devil is running wild. And I don't know how else to describe these people that are implementing these changes in our society, but evil entities from hell, Kelly. And that's where they're going to go one day. I take solace in that, but I just hope that we can stop that some of the damage before it gets there. Is what we're seeing right now, especially with our kids. That just, it tears me apart. I read the numbers for Ontario, Kelly. And the first day they had child vaccinations available, I think it was 7,200 children were injected. 7,200 parents or 3,600 parents took their children in to have this injected into their body. Very, very sad state of our society. It absolutely drives me wacko. Go ahead.
It's insane. You know, I watched today as my partner for Hugs Over Masks, and We Are All Essential, and I Am Free Canadian, is Vlad Sobolev. And he and hundreds of others were down at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, where they opened a vax clinic. And Sarah Chowdhury, who is one of the main nurses from Canadian Frontline Nurses, was there. And she cried today on the live streams because there was a child who was literally kicking and screaming and crying and yelling at their parents that they did not want to take that needle. And that parent dragged them like that in there to take an experimental injection that will likely result in myocarditis, which is the enlargement of their vital organs, and that child will only result in a 50-50 chance of making it to 15 years old.
Yeah, 10 years, 50-50 after 10 years. So that's what you're doing to your child by allowing these.
You need to stop murdering your children on the order of a government. And I'm going to say it like it is because I can't be any other way. You take your child for that experimental injection and you are murdering your own child. How are you going to live with yourself when your kid dies before you do?
Something I can't even begin to fathom. And then let's talk about stillbirths for a couple of minutes before you go, Kelly. And the incredible rise, 1,700% in some hospitals over the last month and a half in stillbirths. Unbelievable, right across the board. And like I said earlier in my show, I was talking to a gentleman, a friend of mine down in the States. He's going to be on next week, and he's going to bring the numbers forward that he's been getting in the last week. And it's just unbelievable the amount of stillbirths and miscarriages that pregnant women are experiencing after being double injected. Isn't this great, Kelly? Don't you just love these people? Aren't they just the greatest people in the world?
It's disgusting.
I'm so sick of this crap. I am.
Over 2 million people have already died from this injection. And who do they consist of? They consist of children. They consist of some of the most healthiest people on earth. You've got athletes who train. Dropping like flies. Like flies. They're dropping like flies. The people that I've met that have taken that injection and developed tumors immediately following it. Guys, it's as simple as this. When you have advertising on buses in your municipal cities trying to tell you that children get heart attacks too, are you crazy?
It's the new norm.
That is not normal.
I know that.
It is not. Children do not get heart attacks too. They don't.
It doesn't happen.
That is a lie.
Well, they're conditioning society to all the heart attack and misorders they're going to have with children's hearts in the next couple of years because they know what's going to happen.
I encourage people out there to talk, to find out about Brian Bridle. So listen to Daniel Nagase. Listen to Robert Malone. Listen to Dolores Cahill. Listen to the World Doctors Alliance. Listen to Dr. Patrick Phillips. Listen to the Canadian frontline nurses. Okay? Are you telling me that all of these world-renowned scientists and doctors are all of a sudden nuts? Because the government says so? Because the government says so? That's insanity.
Yep.
That's absolute insanity.
Well, we could talk about the Great Barrington Declaration. I mean, that alone got 40,000 doctors signed on and 12,000 scientists, and some of them have certificates that go up a wall and down the other side, and they're all screaming at the top of their lungs that this is the most insane thing that we've ever done to the human race, and that information never reaches the Canadian people, and it should be. CBC should be talking about that every day so people know. CBC should be talking about Mounting for Freedom. They should be talking about all this stuff. We've got to change the narrative in the mainstream because they're still having a really negative effect on our society. So let's go surround CBC tomorrow, Kelly. I'm down.
I'm down. I'm down. I'll do it today. Let's do it tonight. Let's go and pitch tents. You know, like pitch tents. Don't be scared. We're Canadians. The winter doesn't scare us. Come on. It certainly doesn't scare me.
Well, hey, Kelly, I love having you in here because I love your passion, but I know your passion is coming from your heart. And it's real.
It is.
It
is. Every child out there, Barry, should be treated as your own. And it, surely, to the people listening, if your neighbor's child went missing, you would lose your mind looking for that child as if it was your own. So why is it any different right now? Get outside. Go to those vax clinics and stand in the way. Do not allow your neighbors to murder their own children because a government is instructing them to, regardless of the consequence. It is worth it. I would personally, I don't care. I will die for this cause. I will die for this cause, and I don't. It's worth it. Every one of you and every one of your children are worth it. Surely, every parent out there would die for their own child. So why are you going to participate in killing them yourself?
Brings tears to my eyes, Kelly. It really does when I think about it. And it's so unnecessary. But we're going to stop it. We're going to stop these evil people.
Yes, we're absolutely going to stop them.
You know, the only solace I take in my life right now, Kelly, is that one day these people are really going to pay the price for what they've done. And hopefully they end up, when they end up where they're going, that we get to throw a little gasoline on top of them, on top of what they're already experiencing. Because they deserve
that.
People are evil. And they're going to kill our society, and they're going to kill your kids. We can't let this go on, Kelly. So, again, I thank you for coming in. And I feel your passion. And I feel your love for people, and it's genuine. Folks, maybe you'd like to have a look at what she's doing and get behind the organization. And throw some support at her. Maybe you can run by us real quick where people can find you again, Kelly, and we'll have to shut the show up.
Well, the website, the website is being built right now, but we have provincial Facebook groups set up under CDDA in every single province. So it would be CDDA-your province, and you can log on and join those Facebook groups. You can follow my channel on Telegram, which is Kellyanne Wolf. You can find me on Instagram at Real Kellyanne Wolf or at Official Kelly Wolf, or you can join, you can grab me on Facebook at Kelly Wolf. And stay tuned. You can also follow Hugs Over Masks, which is hugsovermasks.ca. We are all essential.ca. I would suggest everybody jumps on to the website The Myth is Canada. Look under the submenu at Solutions and start at Lesson 1. Start learning what a constitution is, why it's important, and how to build it so that when we come to the city closest to you, you can participate in the workshops of spreading this awareness and education to your own communities. And it doesn't matter if you're citizen, and it doesn't matter if you are, if you're Indigenous, if you're First Nations. We are coming to you. Also, jump on to Canada-Unity.com/MOU today. Read that paper and sign that baby, because this is a collaborative effort of the entire country to come together and take responsibility and authority over our lives.
And boy, was there never a time that it's more necessary as it is right now, Kelly. Thanks for joining me again today. It's been a pleasure as always.
Absolutely, Barry. Thanks for having me, and good night, everyone.
Okay, Kelly, love you. Talk to you soon.
Love you too, hon. Bye.
Well, folks, you know what? We're really in a crazy time right now in history. We didn't ask to be here, but we are here. And if you're looking for a hero to put a stop to everything we see going on right now, go stand in front of the mirror and you'll see them. It's going to be right there in front of you. You or her, it's going to be right there. And it's necessary right now, more than ever before in history, that we all get actively involved any way we can in stopping this madness, because like you said many times on this show today, what's coming I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, and I can't let that happen. I'll fight with every bone in my body to stop what's going on. I hope you'll join me in that cause. Thanks for coming in this week. Thanks to Steve for producing my show, and thanks for lending me an ear, and thanks to my guests for coming in today. I've enjoyed being here with you guys immensely. Bye for now.